Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused?
take me long to get here the back way.
Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
Good vision starts with healthy eyes. Primary Eye Care Associates encourages you to have a comprehensive vision and eye health exam periodically, even if no symptoms of a problem exist.
We recommend that parents of young children bring their babies to Primary Eye Care Associates for their first exam between 6 and 12 months of age. This visit is free of charge through a special public health program called Infant C.
Dr. Karen Fortman is one of 8 outstanding doctors of optometry at Primary Eye Care Associates.
And we want to ensure that school-age children have normal visual development, too. They must meet the demands of the classroom and the activities and sports that they play.
For your convenience, no matter what age, Primary Eye Care has locations in Sydney, Fort Loramie, Jackson Center, Troy, and St. Paris.
Continued eye care is important for adults, too. We want to keep your eyes healthy for as long as you live. Primary Eye Care wants you to see your best, look your best, and feel your best.
Your Primary Eye Care team of over 50 associates is available weeknights and Saturday mornings.
We're committed to caring for your vision and eye health for your lifetime.
Visit us online at primaryeyecare.org. Get connected to your VA benefits. Chris North of Shelby County served 4 years in the U.S. Navy. Chris is your Shelby County Veterans Services Commission officer.
If you are a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran, or even if you know a veteran, we want to connect you to your benefits. That can easily be done by calling us at 937-498-7282. 498-7282.
Or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO or call 498-7282. The Shelby County Veterans Services Commission. We're vets serving vets.
American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie completed major glass installation for the University of Kentucky Soccer Complex.
At Kentucky, we strive to be the best in everything that we do, from the outside and the inside, and American Architectural Glass provided that for us.
Your commercial and industrial glass connection is AAG.
They were able to put in really nice structures from the bottom up. They were able to put really nice glass doors in, and I think one of the biggest parts of our complex has been the field-level windows that they installed down on the playing surface. so that our teams can watch from inside their team lounge. And that's been a really big sell in recruiting, and it looks nice and it's very well done.
UK's soccer complex is one of the best in the nation, thanks to AAG.
It absolutely was. You know, the work that was done by American Architectural Glass was extremely high quality.
Ohio State, Miami University, and the University of Findlay are also satisfied customers of AAG. American Architectural Glass, AAGinc.com. It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
This is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
Good evening to you, high school football fans. I'm Jack Kramer along with Chuck McBee. We speak to you from Troy Memorial Stadium on what is turning out to be a dreary, rainy evening and heavier rain on the way for this Troy-Sydney game here tonight. The Sydney Yellow Jackets 4-3 on the season. The Troy Trojans 6-1. Troy sits third in OHSAA Division II Region 8. Sydney is 13th in the region. And simply put, Chuck, given those numbers, the Sydney Yellow Jackets need to win this game tonight in order to have a chance to play Week 11.
Absolutely. This is where they're going to get some points. If they don't beat Troy tonight, they will not get enough points the rest of the season to get themselves in. Going to be a tough task. This is a really good Trojan football team, so they're going to have to play well. I don't think the weather is going to enhance their game, playing on a natural grass field in the rain. It's going to negate a little bit of what I think Sydney has an advantage, and that is in the quickness on the outside. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
Yeah, what's very interesting is the fact that the Troy Trojans, two-time champs in the GWOC North the last couple seasons, are first in the entire GWOC defensively. This team is loaded, only allowing 185 yards per game. Only 72 through the air. Sydney averages offensively more than 100 yards a game through the air than that figure of 72 given up by Troy. Interesting confrontation there, Troy's defense against the pass. Sydney prefers to throw it to move the football.
Well, they're going to have to give him time to throw the football tonight. Yeah. They're going to have to throw some quick passes, but they're going to have to complete passes to win the football game. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Sydney Yellow Jackets, 11th in the GWOC in defense. But it's a defensive core, Chuck, that's come along very well the last 2 weeks, allowing 14 to Piqua, 10 to Tip. We'll hear from Sydney head coach Adam Dungis in just a few minutes, and he's very high on his offensive and defensive lines, which have performed admirably the last two Friday nights.
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years they had such a prolific offense, but their defense was terrible. Let's just be honest, terrible.
Yep.
This year, their offense not quite as good as it's been in the past, but their defense has made leaps and bounds in getting better. And they're gonna need that tonight. Troy has one of the best running backs in the area, in Jaden Culp Bishop. So they're gonna have to do a nice job of containing him. If he has a big night running, it could be a long night for the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, Bishop has racked up over 1,200 yards on the ground this year. He is number one. He's the top rusher in the GWOC with that phenomenal figure of over 1,200 running yards. Caleb Harris is fifth in the GWOC. Harris for Sydney, averaging close to 800 on the ground. Interesting battle tonight. Rushing the football could be a wet track. Who has got traction, Troy or Sydney, on the slippery wet turf here this evening at Troy, which has natural grass?
Well, if you run between the tackles, you have an advantage tonight. If you want to go wide, it's going to be a little tougher for you.
Hallie Truesdale back for Sydney to kick the football. That's a lift. She was a difference maker last week. Coach Dungis will comment on that in just a moment or so. Hallie kicked a field goal, an extra point. Hey, if she's present for the Piqua game, who knows?
Yep.
Piqua missed a couple PATs and a field goal. Lost the game by 2 points against the Indians.
Yep. Well, yeah, that means she could have made a difference. You never know. But injury's part of the game, so you play with what you got.
Darren Taborn, he was stealing the ball through the air last week against Tip. The Red Devils pitched the football up top six times, half of them intercepted by Darren Taborn.
Well, he got Jeff Bray's Clancy's player of the game, even though we weren't covering that game. So I think we're going to have to give the kid a meal.
Troy Trojan, 6-1 on the year. Aside from the Miamisburg contest, Chuck, Sydney might represent the second most challenging opponent on Troy's schedule to date.
I don't think there's any doubt. They have not played a rugged schedule, but they if you look at their scores, though, if you play a not real tough schedule, but you thump them like they've been doing, that's all you can do. I mean, you look at Alabama. They've not played anybody, but watching them play, you're not sitting there going, gee, I'd like to play them.
Good comment. Troy Trojans and Sydney Yellow Jackets do have a couple of common opponents. Belmont and Tip, both teams routed Dayton Belmont. Troy in week one, Sydney in week three. The Tip-Sydney game pretty close last week, 16-10. Sydney won it on the road. Troy blew out Tippecanoe right here a couple weeks ago by a score of 49-14. Common opponent comparisons really don't mean diddly, but you like to talk about it. We media people do.
Well, we have to have something to talk about before they kick off, so yeah, you're right. But no, it doesn't mean much, but you can get kind of a conception that Troy's offense, not just their defense, but their offense is pretty darn good too.
Yeah, I happened to see the Troy-Miamisburg game. That was 17-0 Miamisburg midway through the third quarter. Troy played Miamisburg even over the last 18 minutes, 14-14. As head coach Matt Burbacher of Troy will note in just a few minutes, his club was asleep the first half against Miamisburg,
right.
The poorest two quarters that Troy has played all year long. We'll hear from the two head coaches shortly. I'd like to remind you here on scoresbroadcast.com that we are on the web, online tonight, thanks to these outstanding anchor underwriting sponsors, U.S. Bank, 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District, Local Equipment at Jackson Center, Holloway Sportswear in Sydney, Barker Insurance, north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, which I may have already mentioned, but let's give Wilson Health its just due, a longtime anchor underwriting sponsor, as is Local Equipment in Jackson Center. We could not have gotten off the ground in 2007 had it not been for the support from Local. And, of course, the Sydney Daily News, the very best sports page coverage around. Thanks so much to Bryant Billing at the Sydney Daily News. Other underwriting sponsors include Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville, Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville, Brookins in Fort Loramie, no good eating place like it, Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie, Clancy's in Sydney, nothing fancy, just fantastic food, Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Frisch is in Sydney, Troy, and Tip City. What's your favorite thing? The in-between, just south of Botkins. The food's not in-between. It's out of this world. John Hemp Imagery in Sydney. And we thank, as well, the Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. In Rushi, shout-outs to the Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum, plus the Jewelry Barn. The Jewelry Barn is the gem of Rushi. It will make your gift ideas come to life. And in Anna, Wells Brothers, Inc., which has grown to include 8 expanding divisions. We talked with Sydney head coach Adam Dungis in his 8th year earlier this week about his club and the Troy Trojans. And as Coach Dungis noted, the strength of his team the last 2 weeks has been the offensive and defensive line play. It has been outstanding.
Three, four, five guys we play on the defensive line. you know, with Braden Dean at defensive end and Joey Bishop, another defensive end. Nick Benshoff rotates in a little bit, defensive end. Then we rotate two or three guys at the nose position with Colin Jones and Dylan Vanderpool and Cooper Collingsworth getting the bulk of the work there at the nose position. Those guys have done a really great job of just occupying bodies. And then when the opportunity presents themselves, they're still getting their tackles here and there. But they're keeping people off our linebackers, and we're rotating five, six kids at our three linebacker position to kind of keep them fresh. And all of them are hungry when they get in there, and they're flowing the ball real well. And, of course, the strength of our defense, which has been for the last couple of years, is our secondary play has been excellent. When teams are trying to take a shot on us, we've done a nice job in coverage right now between our two corners and Josiah Hudgens and Darren Taborn, and then Keith Lee at free safety has done a nice job also.
Yeah, but Darren Taborn was dreaming of intercepted passes after last Friday night's game.
Yeah, our corners get pretty greedy. They like to play passing teams, so when we got to run into a St. Mary's or a Belmont or a Tip City, a Xenia, the run-oriented teams, they don't get too excited during the week because now they got to work on coming downhill and setting an edge and making tackles and stuff. So they get kind of aggravated when we play these kind of teams. But I always tell them, you know, if we do our job defensively and take away some of that run game, they're going to have to throw the ball. And these are the kind of teams you want to play because that's not what they do. That's not what they practice all the time. And if we force them to have to throw a ball, now you should be salivating because it should be easier balls for us to go up and get. And, you know, last week Darren had an opportunity to go up and go after those balls, and he did a nice job with it.
Hallie Truesdale returned last week after the injury, and she made a difference in that game against Tip.
No, she did. You know, when she went out there to kick, she made her first PAT, and the second one sailed a little wide left. But she was able to bounce back. Her demeanor and everything on the sideline was good. She knew she was going to get another opportunity to kick again in that game. We don't plan on ever scoring just twice. And the opportunity presented herself to set her up for a 26, 27, 28-yard field goal. And she looked pretty good in pregame. She looked pretty good during the week, so we sent her back out there, and she drilled it. And that was a nice little cushion there. We had a nice drive there, and we needed to come away with some points, and she was able to do that for us.
Adam Dungis, head coach of Sydney, before tonight's game between Sydney and Troy. Talk about your offense for just a moment, what you need to improve on, having scored 12 points against Pickwa, 16 against Stipp. Who knows, you may have to score three or four touchdowns to beat Troy.
You know, we're doing a nice job limiting our mistakes right now. The last 2 weeks we haven't put the ball on the ground, and we haven't thrown balls into the other team's hands. So that's been the positive part. And we're actually driving the ball pretty well. Both those games we've gone over 300 yards of total offense. We just haven't finished drives.
Right.
We've gotten down in the red zone too many times now in the last two games, and we just haven't been able to finish a drive for a touchdown or for a field goal for that matter. Whether it be a dumb holding penalty, whether it be a bad snap or just a bad handoff or just not being able just to punch it in there and be tough and say we're going to get this ball in the end zone from the five. We just haven't been able to finish drives. And, you know, we continue to practice on that this week, some situational stuff. And eventually to beat a team like Troy, you're going to have to be able to capitalize. When you get inside their end zone, you're going to have to score.
Right, right. Troy, the GWOC North champ the last 2 years, your opponent, what strikes you most about the Troy Trojans here in 2018?
Just the overall physicality and the speed at which they play the game. You know, I don't know if any of their guys are 4.5 40s, but they just play football fast, and they're able to think on their feet really fast. They do a nice job of just moving in space, playing with reckless abandon, but still at the same time being able to be balanced when they've got to come to a tackle or a tackler and that kind of stuff. Obviously, defensively, that's their calling card. That's what they hang their hat on every day. But I've been more impressed this year with their secondary play. I think that's been better. Special teams, their kick coverage, punt coverage teams are excellent. They've got an opportunity where they block some kicks this year also, and then so you start thinking how good the defense is, you start going, man, that special teams is pretty good, and then you get to offense and they probably have one of the best backs in the state of Ohio in Colt Bishop. So you know, they're a well-rounded team, and they're doing just like anybody who's shooting for the playoffs right now. They know they're going to get in, but they want to keep moving on a high trajectory, so when they get to those playoffs, you know, they're determined to win more games, I'm sure, than they have in the past.
Yeah, speaking of Troy's defense, it's a club that slowed down Isaiah Bowser the last couple of years, but but it's a different identity Sydney offensive team this year with much more speed all over the place.
Yeah, you know, we're playing, the whole width of the field now, 53 right. yards. I think we have in the past, you know, we kind of try to spread people out, but there was no secret on what we were trying to do the ball. We were going to try to pound the ball between the tackles and then use Andre Gordon then also in our run game a little bit. And, and now we don't necessarily have that bruiser. You know, Caleb Harris has got over 100 carries right now through seven games. Isaiah Bowser had 300 carries through 10 games last year. So it's a little bit different. I had to remind him that the other day when he said he was sore after the tip game because he had 29 carries. I said, can you imagine having 45 in a game? But we're definitely a different team. We got, you know, more offensive weapons. Last game, I think we had seven receivers catch at least two balls. So, we got a lot of threats, and we got a lot of different guys. At any point, we get the ball in their hand, they could turn a five-yard play into a 60-yard play.
Words of Adam Dungis, fourth-year head coach, or I should say eighth-year head coach at Sydney. He has done a rock-solid job at Sydney, Chuck, developing a superb football culture.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, Sydney was kind of on the rocks when he got there, and it took him a year to get things straightened around, but no, they've gotten better and better, and this is a good football team. And he's right. Their talent is on the perimeter, and they need to figure out a way to get the ball to those young men out there so they can use their speed and their quickness.
It wasn't too long ago, Chuck, when these two teams, Troy and Sydney, were 1-9 and 2-8 respectively in a season. Just 2014.
Yeah.
Each program has come a long way since.
No doubt about it. Good coaching.
Matt Burbacher, head coach of the Troy Trojans, he is in year number four. And he comments on how he's so pleasantly surprised with the development of his team here in 2018, having graduated all but 8 of 22 starters 1 year ago.
This team's come a long way. You know, we lost 7 starters on both sides of the ball from last year's team. So we only had one starter coming back on the O-line. Mm-hmm. But this team had great potential, and we knew that coming into this offseason, and the expectations were very high with some of the kids we had coming back. Mm-hmm. But we've had a lot of these younger guys, and even these older guys. We've had some seniors step up. You know, we got 3 seniors starting on our offensive line. 2 of those guys never have taken a varsity snap.
Wow.
And have played every snap on offense for us, and outstanding, Marshall Bruckman and Jesse Westmeyer. Defensively, we lost our whole defensive front. We had our 2 inside linebackers coming back and 2 defensive backs coming back, and that's it. We moved one of those defensive backs to an outside linebacker, you know, has 107 tackles for us right now, so he's doing a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
Those 2 inside linebackers, other 2, Shane Shoup and Blake Burton, are number 2 and 3 in tackles. And then Garrett Jones, Kobe Feltner, out on the outside at corner, you know, and he's doing a great job out there at corner. So we lost a lot, and we knew we had to grow up real quick. And our kids have done a great job and really bought into our system. That's the biggest thing. They have bought into the system. They've been in the senior class. They were freshmen when I got here.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been in the system for 4 years. They understand the expectations, and they want to be that next team.
Yeah. And it's Sam Jackson who's got more than 100 tackles for you.
Absolutely. And Sammy, again, you know, Sammy's making us look like geniuses by moving him closer to the ball. But you know what? It's all Sam Jackson.
Sure.
We just thought with the attributes he has, you know, moving him closer to the football would be better. He still will drop back in coverage and do all that stuff. But, you know, and we've played a lot of teams that run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been able to get up there, be physical. And obviously he's got a nose for the football with being around there so much.
Offensively, you run the spread, nice balance, run pass, and you've moved the football up and down the field most all year long.
You know, we have. We struggled that first half of the Miamisburg game. We struggled a little bit last week against Butler, you know, with some turnovers and those types of things. But our kids, again, we want to play fast. We want to get as many snaps in as we can. And our defense, the way our defense plays, we can take chances because then, you know, we have confidence in our defense that they got our back.
Matt, take a moment, highlight your skill players on offense, young men we'll be talking about in the play-by-play in color tonight.
You know, the big one, it starts with the quarterback. And when you're talking skill guys, and Braden Seiler was a big question mark coming in. We knew he, you know, he had all the physical tools to be a successful quarterback in the GWAC. But again, he's never taken a snap on Friday night. He broke his hand last year in a JV game, and so never really got in there last year. So he was coming in a new starter, and you know, he's up over 1,000 yards already throwing the ball. You know, he runs the ball real well. He happens to be our kicker and an extra point guy. Mm-hmm. So he has been on the field in that respect, but not as a quarterback. So he's done a great job. We run a lot of the new fad RPOs, you know, so it's a run pass option. So we're asking a young quarterback to make those reads and make that decision within a half a second.
How about that Colt Bishop? He had a great running game last year against Sydney.
Yeah.
He's been very good for you again this season.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, where he started off this year is where he finished off last year.
Yeah.
And he was running hard. You know, you had the Sydney game last year, then you had the Greenville, Piqua, you know, down at Anderson. And he picked up right where he left off. So we may be throwing the ball a little bit more than we did last year.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We got to keep teams honest because teams are going to stack the box against us. And, mm-hmm. and they're going to stop Jaden. They want to stop Jaden. But you know what? We've proven that we can throw the ball. And that's what we want the defenses to do. They have to cover from that sideline over to this sideline. And then when we get them spread out, you know, that gives Jaden even bigger running lanes. And then you look at our receivers. You know, the big thing with our receivers, we got seven guys with over 100 yards receiving. So it's not like we are, you know, we got one guy and you got to just know where that one guy is. Braden does a good job of spreading the ball. But I think that all goes back to is those offensive linemen. You know, like I said, we have four new starters up here on the offensive line, and those guys have grown up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys continue to get better and better and better every week. And we're in week eight, and they're playing their best football right now. So, again, we're excited about that. We're excited where our team's going, and we know this is going to be a challenge tonight. And we know we've won the league the last 2 years. Everybody's gunning for Troy. And it's a great spot to be in for us, but we know everybody's going to give us their best shot.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be ready week in and week out. It doesn't matter who you're playing, what their record is. This is going to be their game that they have circled that they want to win. So our kids do a great job of preparing throughout the week, and they know on Friday night, no matter who we're playing, it's going to be a challenge.
And Matt Burbacher, head coach Troy Trojans, our guest before tonight's game between Troy and Sydney. No more Isaiah Bowser for Sydney to worry about. You handcuffed him. Your defense slowed him down the last two seasons extremely well. But it's a different identity on offense for Sydney here in 2018.
Absolutely. You know, they spread the ball around. You know, that's the biggest thing when coaches met on Sunday to do our game plan. The last few years, we had to find out where number two was lined up.
Yeah.
And number two was going to get the ball, or if not, you know, last year we knew it was Dre and Isaiah. We had to stop those two. This year, they're, you know, very similar to us. They're making you defense from the one sideline to the other.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're making you defense from the goal line to the other goal
mm-hmm.
line. So they are getting that defense spread out. They've got some great athletes out there on the outside. You got Rotez Roberts, you got Taborn, you got Hudgens, you got, you name it, they got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Brown. So it's, you know, it's going to be a great challenge for our defense. But we're excited. We're, you know, our defense has stepped up to the challenges, you know, for the first 7 weeks. And this is definitely no different. We got to take care of the football. You know, that last week was ironic. We had four turnovers. Butler had zero. And when someone looks at the stats and sees that, they're saying that team lost. We ended up winning 25-0,
yeah.
and we still had four turnovers. So
yeah.
I thought, you know, one, that speaks volumes about our defense.
Sure.
And two, it speaks volumes about our team. Our kids didn't let adversity strike, you know, and affect them for another play. Yeah, we fumbled the ball once. We threw three interceptions. Big deal. So what? Next play. And that's the mentality our kids have had. You know, so we need to take care of the football, and we need, you know, cut down the penalties.
Matt Burbacher, fourth-year head coach of the Troy Trojans. Troy has had Sydney's number the last couple years, beating the Yellow Jackets 48-21 and 31-6. Sydney won the game in 2015 by a score of 52-28. In 2014, Troy's only win that year was 27-0 over Sydney. Chuck, an update on the weather forecast. Very, very light rain in the sky at the moment, although according to the radar, the prospect for more rain is pretty high.
Yeah, it's out there, definitely coming.
And it will be interesting to see if it does come down harder, which team will be impacted more. On the defensive side of the ball, Chuck, do you have a better chance for good traction than the offensive team in wet weather? You react on defense.
Well, I think you react. I've always felt like in wet weather, the receiver has an advantage because he knows where he's going.
Sure.
And the defender has to react, so that makes it a little tougher. Troy runs the ball between the tackles. They like to run the ball straight downfield. I think that gives them a little advantage there. If Sydney can hang on to the football, get the ball wide to Roberts, who I still think is one of the best athletes in the area, if they can get him the football and get him some space, they can play in this football game.
Agreed. I think Rodtez Roberts is an important factor tonight. He's got to be a playmaker. He certainly was much of last season. Of course, he's had to share receiving duties with more bodies this year. But Rodtez Roberts needs to be a featured target of Sydney quarterback Ryan Dunham here tonight. Sydney won the toss, chose to defer. Will receive the football in the third quarter. Sydney kicks off to start the game. Sydney will open the second half with possession. And the Yellow Jackets kick to open up action here tonight from Troy Memorial Stadium. It's a pop fly kick down the left side. Beyond the far hash mark to the 23, returned by Troy's Colt Bishop in front of the Trojan bench over the 30 to about the 34-yard line. Like the kickoff, Chuck, because Sydney was able to use the boundary as a defensive weapon.
Yeah, they'd like to maybe kick it a little farther.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, the 35-yard line, that's not a bad starting spot for Troy.
Braden Seiler, starting quarterback for the Troy Trojans. 6 feet, an inch tall. He is a junior, didn't play at the QB spot last year, as head coach Burbacher of Troy mentioned a few minutes ago. In the offensive backfield alongside Seiler is Jaden Colt Bishop. And keeping the football, opening play of the game is Seiler. He is under duress. He rolled out to the left, wanted to throw a sideline pattern. No one was open. He had to eat it for a 2 or 3 yard setback. It'll be second and 13 for Troy. Outside the Trojan 31 near the 32. Very good pressure by the Sydney Yellow Jackets. One of the top tacklers on the team all year, Christian Redderer, was the young man who pursued and brought down Seiler. Second and long. Here is a deep handoff in the offensive backfield to Colt Bishop. He can't go off tackle. He tries to string it wide around the end. And the Sydney Yellow Jackets bust up that play, far side of the field, short advance, minimal gain, maybe a yard and a half. Redderer again tracked down the ball carrier. Third and about 11 and a half to go for the Trojans, who can get a first down beyond their own 45. Seiler in the pocket, looks middle of the field, now goes right sideline. Caught by Troy at the 44. The receiver works his way upfield for 3 or 4 more yards. And, Chuck, I hearken back to your comment a few minutes ago. When the field is damp, the receiver knows where he's going. The defender oftentimes has to be careful and back off a step or two. And the Troy receiver went right to the first down stake.
Yep. If he would have made the tackle right away, I don't know if he would have gotten it.
It is Colt Bishop getting the call on first and 10 for Troy from the Trojans 47. And he is smacked down. No gain. Very good tackle by Joshua Harlett of Sydney. So far, Sydney has stalled Troy's running game, although the Trojans did convert on a third and long pass play. Seiler's got a very good arm. He throws right, kicks it with the left. He'll punt and place kick for Troy as well. The quarterback slings it into the left flat, open receiver behind the line. Has got a blocker out in front, up over the 45-50. And the receiver, Kloffenstein, is spilled at the 46 of Sydney. Kloffenstein, the tight end for the Trojans, he will play all over the field, left side, right side, often used by the quarterback, Seiler. Big play here for Troy. third and about 3.5. It is Colt Bishop barreling outside left tackle, meets resistance at the 45, surges to the 44, maybe the 43. Very close to a first down according to the official spot of the forward progress. It's going to be fourth down and about a half yard to go for the Trojans at the Sydney 44. No score. We played 2.5 minutes. Opening offensive drive of the game. Trojans with possession at the Yellow Jackets 44. Two backs in the offensive backfield for Siler is in the spread. And it's an inside hand off the ball carrier. He's got a sliver of an opening, and he snakes through to the 41, the 40. It's Colt Bishop to the 39 of Sydney. He rumbled for a half dozen yards and a first down. Very good offensive line blocking on that play by Troy. And Colt Bishop had a cavity develop right in front, and he took it to the Sydney 39, first and 10. It is Colt Bishop again, as Siler calls his number often on this opening drive. No, it was Sam Jackson who was in the offensive backfield, and he bowled his way for two or three. Caleb Harris, the two-way performer for Sydney, came up to greet the ball carrier Jackson at the 37. Small advance of a couple, second down and 8 for Troy, which features four receivers, two each side of the field. Is it a throwing down for Siler? He gives it to the first man through, who is met solidly at the 35 and then shoved back. That's that defensive line play. Head coach Adam Dungis was talking about in our pregame conversation. As it buried the ball carrier, Coach Dungis mentioned Braden Dean's name in the pregame. He gets credit for the tackle right there. And Troy confronts a 3rd and 6 from the Sydney 35. No score in this game. We played better than 4 minutes. Siler back to throw, 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He's hit as he throws, and the ball wobbles incomplete, 6 yards downfield. Great pressure defensively by the Sydney Yellow Jackets. Christian Redderer, who's been in on 3 or 4 plays so far for Sydney, put the lick on the quarterback, Siler, for Troy, and forced the ball to fall errantly out in the right flat.
And that was a two-step drop, so boy, he got through there quickly.
Sure did, Chuck. Let's see what the Trojans elect to do here on 4th and 6 from the Sydney 35. It's 4-down territory for the Trojans. Who will go for it? Two backs are stacked to the left of the quarterback, Siler. Now a man in motion. Look for Klopfenstein here. Siler with happy feet in the pocket. Now he runs the football right up the gut. He's to the 31 of Sydney, lurching forward to the 29. It looks like Siler, with a good late decision, racked up enough yards for the first down.
And we got an official who took a shot.
Very close to the first down stake was the Siler run. Boy, Chuck, if he'd waited another split second in the pocket, he would have run out of time.
Yep. He made a good decision. It's going to be real close.
Boy, he got those nervous feet when he began to feel pressure from Sydney, and he danced right up the middle for very close to the yards needed for a first down. Sydney coaches to her left remarked from up here in the visitor's press box that initially it clearly did not look like Siler made enough yards for the first down. But according to the spot,
where they put it now, I think he got it.
Yeah, it's been revealed because the officials have moved out of the way. It does look like Siler picked it up with at least a couple feet to spare. 7 minutes, 31 seconds left to go here in the opening quarter. This is the initial drive of the game. Sydney yet to get the ball. Troy is marching from about its own 35 down to the Sydney 29-yard line, and we think a first down 10 yards to go is upcoming. An official was shaken up on the last play. It's amazing, Chuck, that a man in stripes isn't knocked to the ground a little more often.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to be the umpire.
No, uh-uh. Boy, you are in the thick of things on many plays. And
it's first down.
It is a first and 10 for Troy. The umpire, who was jarred on the play, is limping to the far side of the field, and he may be coming off the gridiron.
Well, they've got contingencies for this. They'll make an adjustment in where they line up.
Because I wore my black and white striped shirt until I entered the press box tonight.
Well, you can get out there. You could probably help Sydney out here.
It is a first down for the Troy Trojans at the 28-and-a-half-yard line of Sydney. That was a big fourth down conversion for the home team. Siler in the offensive backfield. He wants to hand it off, drop the football. It's 12 yards behind the line. Now Siler races to the near sideline at the very last split second, flips a pass for Kloffenstein or Monroe, out of bounds, incomplete at the 15. An aborted play, Siler tried to ad-lib it. Sydney was good in coverage. It's second down and 10 for the Trojans.
They actually did a nice job of making it second and 10 instead of second and 20.
You're so right. Yeah, Siler has been running for his life a few times already in this game in the offensive backfield for the Trojans, who send a man in motion across the formation. And right up the gut, it's Colt Bishop. He's got some running room. There's a lane, and he bolts to the 21, lunges to the 20. Very close to another first down. Third and a yard and a half for Troy. 20-yard line of Sydney. We have played 5 minutes of the opening quarter. No score. Troy's first drive. Sydney yet to touch the ball on offense. We've got backs either side of Siler now, who takes the snap, gives it to one of them, who slides outside left tackle. Sam Jackson touches his knee down at the 22-and-a-half, crawls forward for an extra foot or two. He got the first down with a yard and a half to spare.
He's such a good defensive player. I wonder when he carries the ball if he ever feels like he should tackle himself.
Yeah, Jackson was converted from cornerback to linebacker this year on defense for head coach Matt Burbacher. And he's getting the nod, running the ball on offense here tonight. Running play, Colt Bishop right up the gut for Troy. Weaving right, then left. He's got the first down, or close to it, as he charged down to the six, maybe even the five.
This has been a very methodical drive by the Trojans. They've used up half of a quarter, and they've got five first downs.
Goal to go, Trojans inside the seven of Sydney. Good running effort last play by Colt Bishop, who snaked his way for good yardage. This time it's Colt Bishop getting the call again, and he's met head-on at the line of scrimmage, tries to spring it wide, nowhere to go, and Sydney bounces him out of bounds at the line of scrimmage. It'll be second and goal, 6.5-yard line. Josiah Hudgens came up to greet the ball carrier, Colt Bishop.
16 plays they've run in this drive now.
Sounds like the Cincinnati Bengals against the Atlanta Falcons to end the game in Atlanta a few weeks ago. Two receivers flanked to the wide side. Let's see if Siler rolls that way for Troy. Second and goal outside the six. And we've got a whistle before the snap. Timeout called by head coach Matt Burbacher of Troy. Nothing, nothing, score. 6 minutes left, first period. Trojans driving on scoresbroadcast.com.
Goffney Furniture in Sydney is impressive. Find out for yourself. Go to Goffney, 2600 West Michigan Avenue in Sydney. For your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service free of charge. Extremely high quality furniture, priced just right at Goffney. Check out Goffney Furniture for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. Five-star delivery, 30-day guarantee at Goffney. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com.
Chuck, it seems like the rain has abated the last 5 or 10 minutes. In fact, I'm not sure if we've had much more than a sprinkle or two since the opening kickoff.
No, it's just a little sprinkle going on now, just enough to make it miserable sitting outside, I'm sure.
The radar is somewhat ominous with a whole lot of rain sitting out to the west and northwest of Miami County. Here come the Trojans after the timeout to the line of scrimmage. It's at the 6.5 of Sydney, second down and goal. Here's Braden Siler in the spread. He rides the ball into the belly of Colt Bishop, who tries to circle right in. He breaks the tackle, stays on his feet, drives to the goal line, and he pushes over for the score. Touchdown, Colt Bishop, Troy Trojans. Jaden Colt Bishop, 5'10", 180-pounder, a senior. He cracked over the goal line to give Troy the early 6-0 lead. Seiler will try the point here for Troy. He's the quarterback for the Trojans. He throws with the right hand, kicks with the left. PAT will be spotted at the 10-yard line. 6-0 Trojans. Seiler's kick will make it 7-0 if it is converted. It's on the way, and it is perfect. Well, one offensive possession in this game, that by Troy. And the Trojans took it better than 60 yards, eating up more than 6 minutes off the clock. And Troy's out in front of Sydney, 7-0 on scoresbroadcast.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
So many thanks here on scoresbroadcast.com to the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney, Route 47 west of I-75. Great combination of high-quality furniture and a cost to meet your budget's needs. Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. That's the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney. Shout-outs tonight to the Francis Schulze Company and Superior Aluminum in Rushi in Shelby County and the Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282. Kickoff by Seiler of Troy to Sydney at the 8-yard line. Yellow Jackets run it across the field from one hash to this side of the gridiron. And beyond the near hash mark goes the return man for Sydney, who's tripped up out of bounds at the 23 or 24. The Yellow Jackets bench arises on the tackle, which has been deemed to be a late hit.
Yeah, he dove at his feet, but he was out of bounds when he left his feet. That's a good call.
So Sydney will get 15 tacked on to the end of the return, and the line of scrimmage for the Yellow Jackets will be out in the vicinity of the 40-yard line. Brian Dunham at the helm for the Sydney Yellow Jackets. And he has had a very good year for Sydney. He's passed the football just fine at nearly a 60% clip. He's thrown for 10 TDs. Dunham under center. No, he's in the spread. First play. Ball's on the ground. The snap was low. He couldn't pick it up initially, then grabbed it at the last second, clutching it at the 36. Play goes for a minus four. Not a good way to start on offense.
No, I mean, the snap was right at his feet, and he did a good job of falling on it. He tried to pick it up. The ball's wet.
Yellow Jackets offensively will feature a cadre of receivers all over the field. Josiah Hudgens and Rontez Roberts, the name two. Caleb Harris in the offensive backfield. He's pass blocking for Dunham in this play. A long bomb up the left side. A leaping attempt by Sydney around the 40-yard line. And Troy might have broken it up at the very last split second.
I'll tell you what, Lathan Jones was open. It was a great pass. He just, the timing on the hit caused him to give up the catch.
Yeah, Jones for Sydney was in between the safety and cornerback. Dunham heaved that beautifully, Chuck, from the near hash to the far sideline. Displaying excellent arm strength was Ryan Dunham, who now faces a 3rd and 14. A lot of movement up front. Here's a whistle, a flag, pre-snap. Did Sydney move? Was Troy offsides? And the officials determine 5-yard foul against Troy. 3rd and 9 instead of 3rd and 14 for Sydney. Line of scrimmage, the Yellow Jackets 41. Jackets need to find some way to get the ball to Rontez Roberts or Josiah Hudgens on this play. Long count, but Dunham. Troy nearly lurched into the neutral zone again. Couple receivers left, two to the short side on the right for Dunham. Third and nine. He's in the pocket, 8 yards behind the line. Tries to throw down the seam, left hash. Two receivers running, two red shirts with the white shirts. Ball hits the ground at the 40, no good. And Sydney will have to kick it away. Yellow Jackets to punt on fourth down. Line of scrimmage, the Sydney 41. 5 minutes even left here in the first quarter. Troy 7, Sydney nothing. Weston Smith, who is featured as a wideout oftentimes in the Troy offense, is back to return the kick. He's inside his 20. And it's a short pass by Sydney, which fakes the punt. The snap from center went to the up back. The ball was lofted down the left side of the field, overthrown at the Troy 35. And there's a marker down in addition to the excitement on fourth down.
That's got to be an eligible downfield. There was about four linemen down to at least 10 yards down the field when he threw that.
And, of course, the Troy Trojans will decline the penalty and take over the football, Chuck, at the 40-yard line of Sydney.
Yeah, that's one of those, if you make it, it was a great call. If you don't make it, people talk about it.
At the Trojans get it first and 10 now at the Sydney 41. A 16-play march by Troy to start the game, resulting in 7 points. Sydney gets the benefit of a 15-yard penalty against Troy on the kickoff return. But then the Yellow Jackets go four and out, not three and out. Here's a screen pass by Troy on first and 10. It's a productive play into the right flat, producing about 6 yards to Smith. It'll be second down and 5 to 6 yards to go for Sydney, which had Lee in on the tackle on the far side of the gridiron. Scoreboard clock is now at 4:48 to go in the first. And Sydney's had the ball so far for less than a half dozen plays. Man in motion across the formation for Seiler. Deep handoff, offensive backfield, Colt Bishop, and he's stonewalled right at the 35. He is drilled by Braden Dean. Also in on the play, defensive lineman Ben Shaw for Sydney, who was highlighted in the pregame by head coach Adam Dungis. Third and four for the Troy Trojans, 35-yard line of Sydney. Here's Colt. No, it's Seiler who has the football. He didn't give it to Colt Bishop. Seiler with a late run, a rollout to the right, a long lofty pass into the end zone, and it's a shoestring catch by Troy. 7 yards deep in pay dirt. It's a touchdown. Monroe, the wideout, hauled it in. What a throw by Seiler under duress. It looked like the play might be an aborted one, but Seiler, before he got to the boundary, far side of the field, uncorked a long one. It was up there forever, but Monroe had everyone beaten, and a good 7 yards deep in the end zone, Chuck, he hauled it in. A broken play, but it worked.
Yeah, there was absolutely nobody back there. I mean, it was in the air so long that they closed to make it close, but they couldn't knock it down.
Well, Seiler, who just threw the touchdown pass, is on to convert a second PAT of the night. Troy leads at 13-0, 4:03 left here in the first period. The snapback is a good one. The ball is spotted. The place kick on the way. And it appears to be a duplicate of the first one by Seiler, right down Main Street. 14-0 Troy, last 4 minutes of the opening quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
The Gem in Rushi, Ohio is the Jewelry Barn. Jolene Renderly and her staff are certified by the Gemological Institute of America.
Our Jewelry Barn is quite unique. The Jewelry Barn offers a wide variety of costume jewelry and high-end jewelry. We have a wide variety of engagement rings.
And located among cornfields on the eastern edge of Rushi, the Jewelry Barn is known as the Gem of Rushi.
Yeah, that's right, Jack. That's what our customers call us. It's a repeat business, and they come from all over. It's great.
The Jewelry Barn at 2399 Rushi Versailles Road.
Just a nice little shop.
This is ScoresBroadcast.com, Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. 14-0 Troy over Sydney. We've played 8 minutes here tonight at Troy Memorial Stadium. Dampness in the air, a few sprinkles. Umbrellas are up on the far side of the stadium, the Troy home crowd north side. Kickoff by the Trojans, a dribbler beyond the far hash mark. It's bouncing and trickling out of bounds in the area of the 25-yard line. As a result, Sydney will take the football. Good field position out at the 35-yard stripe. So many thanks to Barker Insurance, located north of Anna, or I should say south of Anna, north of Sydney. Barker, serving the Upper Miami Valley since 1972, the number one most valued agency in the Upper Miami Valley. Barker Insurance at 9040 North County Road 25A, again, north edge of Sydney, just south of Anna. Barker Insurance will customize an auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance program for you. Opening play this drive for Sydney. It is Caleb Harris getting the tap pass back to him from the quarterback, Ryan Dunham, and it is Harris slowly but surely inching forward for 2 or 3 yards from the 35 to the 37, and we've had a myriad of flags already in this game. We've played less than 9 minutes, Chuck. That's at least, what, the fifth penalty?
Yeah, that was, I'm not sure what the call could have been, but I was real impressed with the back judge's arm. He threw that flag 20 yards in the air.
He was not happy with what he saw, that's for sure. And it's a major 15-yard step off against the Troy Trojans. First down, Sydney, at the Troy 48-yard line. With Troy leading 14-0. Scoreboard clock reads 3:55 left in the opening period. Again, Barker Insurance, located north of Sydney on County Road 25A, represents a host of insurance firms like Erie, Buckeye, Ohio Mutual, to name a few. You're always covered with a plan tailored perfectly to your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, 937-492-1857. And yet another marker has been tossed.
That's 40 penalty yards so far against the Trojans. That's the only thing so far I've seen that they're struggling with.
And head coach Matt Burbacher in the pregame said, "We had penalty after penalty last week in beating Butler 25-0. We've got to figure that out this week." So far, Troy has not done so. Snap back to Dunham on 1st and 5 from the 43. He rifles a pass, left sideline, open receiver, just missed him by a foot at the 15-yard line. It was Lathan Jones. He was nearby. The ball thrown by Dunham, just a little bit off its mark.
He got one hand on it, but he couldn't get that other one up there.
Dunham's been close so far, Chuck, but has not made connection yet on that big strike. Second down and 5 for Sydney, 43-yard line of Troy. Troy Trojan defense, number one in the GWAC. Running play, Caleb Harris right up the gut, and he somersaulted to the turf at the 40. He carved out about 3. And then was toppled down. 3rd and 2 for the Yellow Jackets, 40-yard line of Troy. 3-man defensive front down on the ground for the Trojans. Now a 4th comes up. Yellow Jackets with a long cadence here. 3 minutes left in the opening period. Here comes the blitz look from the Trojans. It's Caleb Harris, and he's subdued a yard behind the line of scrimmage. Nothing doing. Coming through the gaps up front, a couple linebackers from the Trojans. Good defensive play call.
Boy, they just submarine. They got lower than the offensive line, and he had no place to go.
Sure did. Good description, Chuck. They knifed in there, and Caleb Harris was taken right off his feet. It is 4th down for Sydney. And about 3.5 yards to go for a 1st down. Sydney went for the 1st down on 4th down on the first possession. Tried a pass from punt formation and failed. Here we go again, 4th and 3. Oh, Dunham's in a heap of trouble. He's way back on the other side of the 50. Down he goes. A blitzkrieg from Troy, and they upended Dunham, who had no chance. A wave of red jerseys were on him right now. It's a quarterback sack as Sidney elected to go for it on 4th down, and the Trojans now again take over the football in Sidney's end of the field at the 45. Boy, Troy with a shot at a 3rd touchdown here in the opening stanza. Trips to the right for the quarterback, Siler, a man in motion across the formation. It's Jaden Colt Bishop dancing to the line of scrimmage, and he stays on his feet and plows to the 40. He's got 5. 2nd and 5 for Troy. Well, Chuck, if Sidney is the second-best team on Troy's schedule to date, the Trojans are making it look pretty easy.
Well, they've run 21 offensive plays to Sidney's 8.
Wow, 21-8 in offensive plays from scrimmage so far. Here's Jaden Colt Bishop again to the line of scrimmage, tries to bounce it wide. He's in the middle of the field, puts his head down, and digs to the 36. 3rd and 1 for Troy. Harlett came up to make the tackle for Sidney. Christian Townsend in there as well. 3rd and 1. You can bet the Trojans are in 4-down territory unless they would lose 8 or 10 yards on this play. Colt Bishop dotting the formation behind the quarterback, Siler, who sends a man in motion. And Siler rides the ball into the belly of Colt Bishop, and he swarmed. It's a negative play, a loss of a couple or three. He was pushed way back outside the 40. Let's see where forward progress is spotted, shy of the line of scrimmage. The play results in a minus yard and a half, so it's 4th down for Troy. And nearly 2 yards to go for a 1st down. 34 seconds to go in the opening period. 14-0 Troy. 4th down, about 5 feet for the Trojans.
That was Redderer again on that tackle. Boy, did he make penetration that time.
Sure did, and that was key because now Troy's got to make a couple yards. Siler fakes the inside handoff, and then he rises up to throw. And Airborne's one down the right side, wide of the mark behind the receiver. That was a gutsy call on 4th down and about 5 feet. Troy went up top, didn't elect to go to Colt Bishop for less than 2 yards, and threw the ball away. Well, not a chance for that one to be complete.
No, well, because it was tipped. I didn't see who got a hand up, but it was going to be a slant, and it was going to be a 1st down. A lineman got a hand up and tipped it away. Didn't catch the number, but a great defensive play.
Standout defensive pressure by Sidney. Yellow Jackets take over the football at their own 37. Here is Caleb Harris skipping to the line of scrimmage. He slowed down at the 41. He might have garnered 3, perhaps 4 on the play. That could very well be the final play of the opening quarter, and it is. Troy Trojans 14, Sidney Yellow Jackets nothing on scoresbroadcast.com.
This very popular location for out-of-this-world food is right in between Bodkin's, Anna, New Bremen, and Jackson Center. But people come from towns everywhere.
My husband and I have heard about In-Between's great reputation for years. We finally drove up to the In-Between Tavern from 30 miles away late last year and have been here several times since.
And you, too, will return to the In-Between for out-of-this-world chops, steaks, fish, chicken, and more.
I've been eating fried chicken at restaurants for nearly 20 years, and the In-Between has the very, very best chicken I think I've ever had.
Your whole family will like the In-Between.
Tonight, 7 of us, including 5 children, ate delicious pizza for less than $30. That's a super value.
At the In-Between, watch your favorite game on TV. In-Between those tasty bites.
The food at the In-Between is just out of this world.
At the south edge of Bodkin's, 25 and 274.
This is scoresbroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. Chuck, I don't second guess very often. You perhaps do a little more than I, but I've gotten a little curious about a couple play calls here in the 1st quarter. the 4th-and-2 pass, but Troy and Sidney throwing from punt formation on 4th down.
Well, that was a decision that kind of backfired on him a little bit. I didn't really have a problem with Troy's call on the slant. It was open. It was just a heck of a defensive play that kept that from being complete. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be a 1st down, and they didn't probably roll down to 21-0 instead of 14-0 at that point.
Exactly. Sidney dodged a bullet there for sure.
Well, Sidney's got negative 12 yards in offense in the first half, and Troy has 113.
It's a landslide difference, that's for sure. Sidney's got to make hay on this possession. 2nd down and 7 from the Sidney 40 as we commence play here in the second quarter. It's a flat pass, Dunham to Harris. He catches behind the line of scrimmage, and then he rips his way down the near sideline. A marker's thrown. Harris goes for about 10 or 12. 1st down to the 50. Good run after the catch by Harris, but the foul is against...
That was Brown.
I'm sorry, was it
Quavier Brown? 1-1 instead of 2-1s.
But it's wiped out. Foul against Sidney. Looked like a block in the back or a clip on the near sideline. We have had several major penalties already in this game. Probably pushing 100 yards between the two teams in penalties. It's a holding call against Sidney. And that's what freed Brown for the 1st down catch and run. Thankfully for Sidney, the foul occurred well downfield. It's marked off from the spot.
Right.
So it winds up being 2nd down for Sidney and about 13 yards or so to go for a 1st down. Line of scrimmage, the Sidney 35. A previous play that was negated. Clearly the most productive play so far for the Yellow Jackets in this game. And everybody moving on the front line. A couple white shirts, 4 red shirts, offside against Troy. And I'm sure Matt Burbacher is shaking his head on the sidelines for Troy. A bushel basket full of penalties last week against Butler, and several already in less than 13 minutes committed by Troy in this game tonight.
Well, there's no excuse for being offsides over the ball. I don't care what the cadence is.
2nd down and 8 for Sidney. We're back at the 40-yard line. Yellow Jackets, 10 yards in their half of the 50-yard line. Here's Troy showing a little outside blitz pressure. Dunham's got time, steps up in the pocket. A long arching forward pass. Far side of the field, beyond the hash, into the Troy bench. On the numbers, it's on the ground. It falls incomplete.
Got a couple of scores. Lehman leads Upper Scioto 9-6, and Lormie leads, who they playing?
Tri-Village.
Tri-Village, 28-0 in the second quarter.
That was Darren Taborn on an out and up, far side of the field on the last play for Sidney. Very good coverage by the Troy Trojans. Shoop was with him step for step. Dunham yet to complete a lengthy one. He needs about 7 or 8 yards on this play. 3rd down pass upcoming. He drops, throws in the flat, caught, 37-yard line. Good run after the catch, 45-50. And it is Caleb Harris, nice dash after the reception. Well done by Caleb. Surprisingly, Troy didn't spy him on that play. And Caleb was available in the flat. Away he went. Sizable pickup to the Trojan 45. 1st and 10 Yellow Jackets. No doubt Caleb Harris has got to play a big role in Sidney's offense tonight if the Yellow Jackets are to come back and make this very interesting. 1st and 10 Jackets, 45 at Troy. Harris off tackle. He's got a little bit of a crease. Slants through for 2 or 3. Troy Trojans, Sam Jackson in there on the hit. Jackson and Burton, two of the top tacklers in the GWAC, 1 and 2 on this Trojans team, in there on the last tackle. Harris weaved his way for about 3. And we're told now it's raining a bit more steadily at Troy Memorial Stadium.
You can see it in the puddles.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Chuck, I didn't think a couple days ago this was in the forecast.
I don't think it was.
I want that job, being a meteorologist. I can be 50% wrong 100% of the time.
There you go.
And still come to work the next day.
I can do that here.
42-yard line of Troy. Ball resting between the 42 and 43. Sydney faces a second down and just a little better than seven to go. 1 minute gone here in the second quarter of play. 14-0 Troy. Troy preparing for a forward pass here. Deep drop, but Dunham chased out of the pocket. Look out. He's nabbed way back at the 46 of Sydney. Boy, the pursuit from the Troy Trojan, Sam Jackson, is relentless.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he ran him down. That was quickness.
Yep, that was a track meet in Sydney's offensive backfield. Jackson and Dunham, and Sam is going to win that every time. Well, Sydney now confronts a third, and we're pushing 20 yards to go for a first down. Third down and about 18 to 19 needed on a Dunham pass here. He's got five receivers flanked. Trips to the right. Long heave, left side of the field. Open receiver, Sydney, who might have gotten away with a push off at the 20. He's got it at the 15. Stays on his feet inside the 10. It is Jones on the catch. He got separation. Maybe a little bit of a shove off. The officials didn't think so. We had a good view from up here. No harm, no foul. Contact was slight. He managed to get beyond the secondary man of Troy by about a step and a half, and Dunham was on.
Perfect.
Oh, wow.
Perfect throw. Didn't even have to slow down. Got it in stride.
Spot on was Ryan Dunham on that heave. On the button. Goal to go, Sydney, 7-yard line of Troy. Inside handoff, Yellow Jackets, nothing doing. The play is stalled. Caleb Harris is knocked off his pins at the 8-yard line. Goal to go, Sydney, from there. And I would think this is four down territory. Not going to mess with a field goal
tonight.
They
don't need three. They need seven.
You're right. You don't play Troy to stay close. You play to win. Here is movement up front, but Troy, I think it's called once more.
My goodness.
Or is it illegal procedure against the Yellow Jackets? Nope.
No, I think it's offsides. Wow. All right, I missed that one.
Well, the referee began to step off five against Troy and then said, no, I'm making a mistake. He walked off five against Sydney.
Well, and he's out here on our edge. I sure didn't see him move, and him moving would not have made the interior of the defensive line jump, so I think that was a bad call.
That's a good observation. Point taken, Chuck. Goal to go, 13-yard line now after the penalty. Fade pattern, Sydney. Open receiver who knows where the ball is. The Troy defensive back lost him, and it's caught. Touchdown, Sydney. Rotez Roberts looked back for the football. The Troy receiver on the slippery turf in the end zone seemed to stagger a bit, lost his footing, and it was Rotez Roberts' reception all the way. Dunham threw it up, and Roberts went and got it. A score for Sydney, and the Yellow Jackets are right back in this game, 14-6. What was that, Chuck, about a 13-yard TD pass?
13. I'll tell you, he was open. And the defender had no idea where the ball was.
Ryan Dunham, the quarterback for Sydney, will take the snap from center and provide the hold of the football. He'll spot it on the ground for Hallie Truesdale, who had a PAT and a field goal last week in the 16-10 win over Tip. The kick by Truesdale on the way, and she's got it. Several feet inside the right upright, and Sydney has cut Troy's lead in half, 14-7 Trojans over the Yellow Jackets. Early stage, second quarter, 9:13 remaining in the half on scoresbroadcast.com.
U.S. Bank offers easy person-to-person payments with Zelle. Person-to-person, like the sometimes fan to the super fan for that last-minute ticket to the game. Or the tailgate guest to the tailgate griller for the pregame grub. Pay whoever for whatever, whenever, with Zelle. It's free in the U.S. Bank mobile app. U.S. Bank, the power of possible. Available to United States Bank account holders only. Terms and conditions apply. The Zelle Network is property of Early Warning Services, LLC, U.S. Bank member FDIC.
U.S. Bank offers you 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District.
So many thanks here on scoresbroadcast.com. to Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies. Dickman, with locations in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Frisch's in Sydney, Troy, and Tip City. What's your favorite thing at Frisch's? Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville. Generation after generation of great service. And thanks as well to the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store in Sydney. Go to the website for more savings, Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. And these anchor underwriting sponsors, American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance, north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, Holloway Sportswear in Sydney, Local Equipment in Jackson Center, the U.S. Bank with 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District, Wilson Health Sports Medicine, and the Sydney Daily News with the best sports page coverage around. Kickoff by Sydney out of bounds. Troy possession by rule at the 35. That's where the Trojans elect to take the football.
That was quite an answer right there for the Sydney offense.
It was necessary because Troy, as you noted, Chuck, on the previous possession was on the verge of going up 21-0.
Right.
So in a sense there, in a matter of a couple of possessions, a few minutes on the clock, instead of a 21-0 score, we've got a 14-7 score. That's got to lift the Yellow Jackets for sure, who need a stop now
right.
against Troy, which starts from the 35. Receivers flank left and right for head coach Matt Burbacher's Troy Trojans offense. Seiler, 5 yards behind the line, gives it to Colt Bishop, stuffs it right in his tummy, and he barges forward for 4 to the 39. Braden Dean gets off the pile for Sydney. New line of scrimmage, the 39. Second down and 6 for the Trojans. Again, a couple receivers left. Let's see if Seiler targets Kloffenstein here. Nope, goes to Colt Bishop again. He's got nervous feet at the line of scrimmage, has a sliver of an opening, puts his head through it to the 41. That sets up 3rd and 4 for Troy.
Yeah, Sydney's doing a good job. They're plugging the hole. They're making him make a choice. They're not opening a hole for him to go through. He's got to dance around back there a little bit, giving them a chance to pursue.
Yep, Sydney clearly marking up on Colt Bishop, who had a 99-yard touchdown run for a score 99 yards away from the end zone against Sydney last year in the game at Sydney. Here's a productive run by Colt Bishop on 3rd down and 4. Outside left tackle, he darts up over the 45, and he slides ahead to the 50. He's got about 7 or 8 and a first down. Second spot by the official places the ball down at the Sydney 49. Seiler with 2 receivers left. And it's Colt Bishop getting the nod once more. Look out, he's got a crease. He's in the open space beyond the linebackers. 35 of Sydney, 25-20. He is drilled from behind down around the 15-yard line. Boy, when Colt Bishop sees daylight, Chuck, can he ever fly?
Yeah, he accelerates pretty darn well.
Yeah, that's the term. He does accelerate immediately right now. And Sydney's got its collective backs to the wall on defense. Seiler, offensive backfield, goes to Colt Bishop. It's a sprint draw. Bishop to the outside, dragged down at the 16. Small advance, picked up a couple. Second down and about 8 for Troy. New line of scrimmage, the 16 or 17 of Sydney. Trojans to the line of scrimmage. Good ankle-high tackle by Cagle of Sydney on the last play. Man in motion across the formation, and it's a jet sweep to the right. Sydney strings it out pretty well. Tackle made at the 11. Well done by the Yellow Jackets. New ball carrier in on that last play for the Troy Trojans. It was Shane Shoup. Shy of the first down, 3rd, about 2.5 to go for Troy. 10-yard line of Sydney. It's Colt Bishop. He jukes left, jukes right. He's over the line of scrimmage, lurching forward to about the 8-yard line. Close to a first down here for the Troy Trojans. If so, it will be a goal-to-go situation. Christian Rederer in there on the stop for Sydney. Scoreboard reads 4th and less than 1 for Troy. Line of scrimmage inside the 9 of Sydney. Troy must get to the 8 for a first down. 4 down territory Trojans. Here they come to the line. Siler in the spread. Colt Bishop alongside to the left. Colt Bishop gets the nod. He's caught behind the line. Shakes the tackler. And he jerks his way down to about the 8. Lunging all the way to maybe the 5 or 6. Missed tackle by Sydney in the offensive backfield.
Had him stopped. Had him stopped cold. He did a good job of wriggling away from him and picking up a couple for the first down.
Wow, Chuck, he's elusive with a capital E. I almost said elusive with a capital A, but I corrected my spelling.
Elusive.
I corrected my spelling. Goal to go, Troy. Sydney 5. Colt Bishop again, left tackle. Pushed down at the 3. Scoreboard clock shows 6 minutes to go, second quarter. 14-7 Troy. Trojans driving for more. Line of scrimmage officially 3-yard line of Sydney. Colt Bishop has run the football, Chuck, already in this game. I bet at least a dozen times.
I would think so.
Slot right, wide receiver right. Siler sends a man in motion. Here is the give to Colt Bishop way back behind the line. That play stuffed out by Sydney. Wasn't blocked very well by Troy. Tackle made far side of the field at the 5 or 6. It's a loss of a couple. Josiah Hudgens led the charge for Sydney.
Well, he was there, but Rederer made the tackle.
Well done by Christian Rederer. Goal to go, Troy. Back at the 5.5 now. Two receivers to the right for Siler, who's got a couple backs staggered alongside. And the back in the eye gets the nod, and it's an easy touchdown for Sydney. Colt Bishop, untouched, roams into the end zone outside right tackle. A big chasm developed, and he walked right through. And on 3rd and goal from outside the 5, touchdown Trojans, who lead this game 20-7. Weston Smith holding for the quarterback Siler, who tries the PAT. He has converted 2 straight, tries to make it the hat trick 3 in a row. The left-footed place kicker, whoops, before the snap, Sydney is a good yard and a half offside in the middle of that defensive line. I think if you're Troy, you say, leave the ball where it is. That's where we're used to kicking extra points.
Yeah, I don't think
from.
I'd move it.
No.
Well,
I take that back. It was inched half the distance of the goal. Well, you can quarterback sneak it from behind center from there. But Troy will elect to kick the PAT, rather from the 10, it's from the 9 now, as a result of the half the distance of the goal line penalty for offsides against Sydney. And the kick by Siler is a low bullet.
Jeez.
And he bangs it through inside the right upright. Not real artistic, but it counts. Troy 21, Sydney 7, 5 minutes to play, second quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
Meet the team at Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine. Our physicians, trainers, and therapists are highly skilled and treat injuries unique to student athletes. Wilson Athletic Trainers serve specific schools and are on site at sports contests. The Injured Athlete Clinic is open Mondays. Sports enhancement programs boost strength, speed, and flexibility. Phone 937-498-5548 or visit wilsonhospital.com. Wilson Memorial Sports Medicine in Sydney, keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
Well, so many thanks to Troy High School Director of Athletics, Dave Palmer. He's rolled out the red carpet for us here tonight on a wet night at Troy Memorial Stadium. We've got Pepsi-Colas and hot dogs coming up here at the half, thanks to Dave Palmer and Troy High School.
There you go.
Last report, Lehman Catholic was leading Upper Scioto Valley.
23-6. Anna leads Coldwater 7-0. Marion leads Minster 7-0. Laramie still ahead 28-0. That's the last score I had for the Redskins.
Anna Rockets a few weeks ago jumped out 3-1 over Marion Local late in the second quarter. Got thumped, though, in the second half. And tonight,
wow,
Anna has a 7-0 lead on the road at Coldwater. Well, if Anna could win tonight away from home, Chuck, the Anna Rockets could be thinking about home
field. Playing at home.
Yes.
Yep.
Week 11 at Booster Field. Kickoff returned by Sydney. Excellent tackle by Troy right at the 20-yard line. First and 10 for Sydney. Yellow Jackets have two receivers right. Boy, Dunham's been under duress all night long. He is once again. He's in hot water back at the 15. Makes a belated throw from the near sideline. Caught out of bounds, however, up at the 30. And we've got another penalty marker. That's about number 10 of the night.
Well, he completed the pass in bounds, but Harris was out of bounds and then came back in. He was not eligible to touch the ball.
Aha. Uh-huh. And that's the ruling. Illegal touching?
Sure.
Yep. Ineligible receiver. 5-yard penalty, first and 15 for Sydney from the Yellow Jackets 15-yard line.
Anytime you see the hat fly. There was two penalties on the play, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, my goodness, we've had a couple situations tonight with multiple fouls. Had it again just seconds ago. And we have a delay in the action, an equipment adjustment, or another 5-yard penalty.
Yep, the slot receiver flinched.
Holy smokes. 5 yards against Sydney, another flag. Boy, the laundry has been all over the gridiron here tonight at Troy.
They must not be cold. They're throwing a lot of flags.
Sydney's in a heap of trouble now. First and 20, back at the 10, flat pass to Harris. As he came back toward the quarterback, Dunham snared it at the 15, turned, rumped up the near side, and is bumped out of bounds at about the 23.
After missing his first four passes, he's hit his missed his first five passes. He's completed his last four.
That's a nice chunk of real estate that Sydney got back on that play.
Yep, about 12 yards.
So it is second down and 8 from the 22. Dunham's got a running back alongside. Roberts and Hudgens wide right. Dunham looks middle of the field. Now right hash mark, and on a knee, the receiver snatches at the 32. Well done by Hudgens. He corralled the football just beyond the first down line to gain. First and 10, Sydney at the 31. Final 4.5 minutes, second quarter, 21-7 Troy. Dunham brings his team up. He's 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage in the spread. Looks near hash mark, throws it up in the air. It is tipped around and batted down at the 47. Lamir Brown was there, but three red shirts converged as the ball arrived.
That's another good pass, though. I'll tell you what, he throws the ball from one hash to the other as well as anybody we've seen this year.
Yeah, we have seen a lot of arm strength from quarterbacks in Shelby County this year. Little Bart Bixler can heave it. And how about the young man at Fort Loramie, sophomore Colin Moore, has got a strong arm. And so does Ryan Dunham for the Sydney Yellow Jackets. He was good last year, and he is improved again here this season. Second down and 10 for Sydney. Line of scrimmage of the 32 of the Yellow Jackets. We near the 4-minute mark, second quarter. Out pattern, left flat. Yes, Dunham displaying arm strength again. Hauled in at the 35. As he unloaded to Jones, and Lathan goes up the near sideline for a couple more yards to the 39. Shy of a first down, though, by 2. Third down, Yellow Jackets. Troy Trojans corners and safety backs, for sure, trying to keep the Sydney receivers in front. Here's a handoff by Sydney on 3rd and 2, and it's Caleb Harris trying to turn it around the right corner. Great penetration by Shane Shoup of Troy, and he dumps him for a loss of a couple yards, and Sydney sends on the punt team. tough break there for the Yellow Jackets, who had third and short but could not convert.
They have not been able to. They're negative right around 20 yards on the ground in the first half.
Troy's run and pass defense all year have been excellent. No different again here tonight, although Dunham, after a slow start, has warmed up through the air.
He's got 91 in this quarter, 91 yards passing.
Very short punt, but Sidney hits at the Troy 45 and rolls dead at the 39. First and 10, Troy, shy of the Trojans' 40-yard line. Timeout situation, two left for Troy, three for Sidney. 21-7, Trojans lead it. I'd like to remind you here at the half, we will feature Spencer Wells, head coach of Fort Loramie. He will update us on the outstanding season of the Fort Loramie Redskins, who are well on their way to victory number 7 in the game tonight, or I should say victory number 6. Fort Loramie 5-1 heading into week 7 this evening. I'm sorry, this is...
This is the 7th game, so it'll be 8, 9, 10. We got two more weeks after this.
This is week 8.
There we go.
Come on, Jack, do the math. Fort Loramie 6-1 heading into play tonight, thumping Tri-Village on the road to go to 7-1. And we'll also hear from Bill Zimmerman, offensive coach at Layman Catholic. He'll talk about the Cavalier season and give us some inside scoop on the playoff picture for the Shelby County teams. Troy converts a first down at the 50, first and 10 Trojans just over it. And then Colt Bishop treks for about 7 yards outside right tackle on first down. Second and 3 for the Trojans, 42-yard line of Sidney with 2.5 to go in the second quarter. Week 8 of the high school football season, Sidney 4-3, Troy 6-1. The snap eludes the quarterback, Seiler, who has to retreat and cover up the football on the other side of the 50 at the 47.
A 10-yard loss right there.
Yeah, Troy's been sloppy on several plays in this game, Chuck.
Well, they've got a lot of penalties, and they've had a couple of bad snaps. I guess the bottom line is they're ahead 21-7.
Third and 13 for Troy from the Trojans 48. And we see some raindrops splashing on our press box window now. Kloffenstein in motion across the formation. Seiler needs a big chunk of real estate here. He is buried in the pocket. Down he goes. Loose football. It's ruled an incomplete forward pass.
Wow.
The official says the arm went forward. Sidney had picked up the football and was running with what the Yellow Jackets thought was a fumble, would have been a touchdown the other way. But we check with New York, and New York doesn't answer, Chuck.
If you go to the replay there, No.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That was a break for the Trojans. They got another break for the fact that they held like crazy on the outside rush.
Oh, indeed, I saw that too. That was clearly a couple offensive linemen for Troy guilty of holding, no call. Could very well have been called a fumble, not an incomplete pass on that last play. Troy dodged a bullet. It could have been 7 points for Sidney's defense going the other way. The Troy punt is taken on a hop by Quamir Brown for Sidney at his own 10, and he steps forward to the 11. That's where the Yellow Jackets start first and 10 with 90 seconds to go in the second quarter. Keep in mind, Sidney gets the ball to start the second half. Yellow Jackets have all three timeouts remaining late here in the second quarter of this game, but must negotiate nearly 90 yards for a touchdown.
I don't think you become conservative here. They've been throwing the ball well. They've got more passing yardage in the first half than Troy's used to giving up.
I like it. Here's Dunham back to throw. A little lob and a screen right flat. It may have been Harris across the way coming from out of the backfield. And he cuts up the gridiron to the 15. Short advance of 5. Second and 5 coming up for Sidney. By going out of bounds, he did stop the clock.
No, he didn't go out of bounds.
No, he didn't?
No, he cut it in.
And the clock does continue to tick. Minute 2, minute 1, 1 minute to go, first half. Here is Dunham taking quite a bit of time in the offensive backfield, lengthy cadence. He's got trips to his left. Dunham in the pocket at the 6. Middle of the field pass might be picked off. It is by Troy at the 41. Run back far side of the field beyond the hash mark. Inside the 30, tackle made, 25-yard line. Shane Shoup on the intercept, and Troy is in business. 37 seconds to go late in the second quarter. 21-7 Trojans. Sometimes, Chuck, you live by the forward pass, and you can also die by it.
Well, I have no problem with the call. It just didn't work out. If they try to start going conservative, it's going to be a long evening.
Here come the Trojans to the line of scrimmage. Receivers left and right. Seiler in the offensive backfield calls his own number. He was reading the defense up front, didn't give it to Colt Bishop, hung on to it, lugged it to the 20, fell forward to the 19. We have a timeout called by the Troy Trojans, who when play restarts will have a 2nd and 5 from the Sydney 19-yard line. 29 seconds to go, second quarter. 21-7 Troy over Sydney on scorersbroadcast.com.
Okay, what's the best way to eat the basket meals at Frisch's Big Boy? With your hands? A fork? Chopsticks? Who cares? It's basket time, and we're throwing the rules out the window. Within reason, of course. Try spicy buffalo bites or popcorn shrimp, both with crinkle-cut fries. Or Frisch's fish and chips with tartar sauce. All served with a drink for just $6.99 each. Yeah, bring on the baskets. Limited time, only at participating Frisch's.
What's your favorite thing at Frisch's in Troy, Tip City, and Sydney?
Here come the Troy Trojans to the line of scrimmage at the Sydney 19-yard line. Yellow Jackets trailing by a score of 21-7. Very late in the second quarter of this game, under a half minute to play. 2nd and 5, Troy. Man in motion to the right. Fake in the offensive backfield to Colt Bishop. And Seiler rolls left, throws toward the end zone. It's down inside the 3-yard line. It's in the hands of a Troy receiver and busted up by the Sydney defensive back. Might have been Josiah Hudgens, who is Johnny on the spot. Well done by Josiah. He put a lick on the receiver, Chuck.
Yeah, he actually had position. I'm surprised he didn't pick that off.
3rd down, a little less than 5 to go for a 1st down for Troy at the 19-yard line of Sydney. 2 receivers left. Colt Bishop gets the football outside left tackle. He's got some running room. A lane develops, and he bolts down to the 10, falls forward to the 9. Clock running. Troy, 1 timeout remaining. 16 seconds to go, 1st half. Trojans, line of scrimmage. Line is down. Colt Bishop, he gets the football once more, hammers to about the 7 or 8, and Troy utilizes its final timeout with the football resting at about the 8-yard line. Good tackle by Vanderpool of Sydney. He filled the hole. He plugged up the gap and put Colt Bishop on the ground. Chuck, it is absolutely imperative that Sydney keeps Troy off the board here late in the second quarter. I don't think you even want to give up 3 points.
No, you.
That would make
that
it
only
a,
adds one.
That'd make it a 4-score game.
Right. It's he's a left-footed kicker. I guess left-handed, left-footed. I don't know if he's on the proper hash for where he would want to kick it from, but it would be the ball's on the 18, about 25-yarder.
Left-footed kicker, I think he would have a little better accuracy right of center than left of center. Any points on the board here by Troy would make it a 3-score lead. I mistakenly said 4. Scoreboard clock was stopped on the Troy timeout, the Trojans' last one. 9 seconds remain. Goal to go from the 8 of Sydney. 2nd down, Trojans. Seiler in the offensive backfield. Fakes to Colt Bishop, throws quick slant. Tipped away Sydney, 5 yards deep in the end zone. Incomplete. Very good defense by Hudgens once again.
Yep.
Boy, no better defensive backs in the GWAC than Darren Taborn and Josiah Hudgens.
Well, they ran that slant again, and it was open. He did a good job of getting a hand in there and knocking it away at the last second.
3 seconds went off the clock. Third and goal, Troy. 8-yard line of Sydney. Two receivers to the right, man in motion. Siler rolling right, offensive backfield. And we've got a timeout, Sydney, before the snap from center. Chuck, as that play developed, was Sydney going to get a stop there or no?
You know what? They had a lot of defenders out that way, but the whistle, I think, made it so it was hard for me to say. But I think they had a lot of defenders out there. I'm not sure he's going to make it.
I did like the play call, getting Siler out of the pocket, out in space to the wide side of the field. Sydney did get a timeout before the snap, and as a result, 6 seconds still remain. Third and goal from inside the 8. 21-7, Troy leads Sydney. Yellow Jackets need a stop. I bet if this forward pass is incomplete, Troy kicks a field goal. You don't dare run it here, Chuck. You don't make it.
No, you can't run it.
The half ends.
You can't run it.
Clock will run out if you run the football. No timeouts remaining for Troy.
Well, we're calling that timeout. Sydney took away the play that Troy wanted to run.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be surprised if they run it again.
Yeah, we saw that happen in the Anna-St. Henry game in overtime. Anna called a timeout, and St. Henry had to change its play, going for the two-point conversion, and then failed. Siler at quarterback, two receivers wide side, goal to go inside the 8 of Sydney. Here's the snap back to Siler. Little stutter step in the offensive backfield, has an open receiver 5 yards deep. It hits him in the chest and falls to the ground, incomplete.
He flat out dropped it.
Wide open was Monroe, who caught a long pass earlier in this game. That had an easy 6 written all over it, and it was coughed up by the Troy receiver.
That was harder to drop than it would have been to catch.
Siler on for the field goal try. Ball will be placed down at the 15. Line of scrimmage just inside the 8. Out of the hold from Smith. Siler, soccer style, left-footed, booting it from the left hash. The kick's got to travel about 25 yards, and he pounds it through the uprights. And the final seconds tick away off the clock with the made field goal by Siler. Troy 24, Sydney 7 at the half on scoresbroadcast.com.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance, and that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
LaCal Equipment in Jackson Center, Market. It's in all 50 states and many foreign countries. We manufacture quality replacement parts for road and highway maintenance equipment. LaCal supports the needs of the counties, states, and contractors all over the world. We operate from a facility spanning 83,000 square feet on Pike Street in Jackson Center. Since moving from L.A., California in 1982, LaCal Equipment has called Shelby County its home. On the web at lacal.com.
What makes the taste of Frisch's onion rings so colossal? Well, we start with the biggest, best onions. Farm-grown, colossal onions. We slice them to just the right thickness, then hand-bread them fresh, never frozen, and fry them to a delicious golden brown. It's the only way to make sure you get that signature snap in every bite. At Frisch's Big Boy, we wouldn't do it any other way.
Get connected to your VA benefits. Chris North of Shelby County served 4 years in the U.S. Navy. Chris is your Shelby County Veteran Services Commission officer.
If you are a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran, or even if you know a veteran, we want to connect you to your benefits. That can easily be done by calling us at 937-498-7282. 498-7282.
Or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO or call 498-7282. The Shelby County Veteran Services Commission. We're vets serving vets.
This is Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee on scoresbroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. 24-7, Troy leads Sydney here at the half on scoresbroadcast.com. Upcoming, Spencer Wells, a conversation with him, the head coach at Fort Loramie, about the fine progress of his club, 6-1 heading into play tonight against Tri-Village. And also comments from the Layman Catholic offensive coordinator, Bill Zimmerman, about his team, which is still in the playoff picture in Division 7. And Coach Zimmerman will also give us some insight on the playoff picture for the Shelby County football programs as we head into action tonight. Right now, it's our Wilson Health Sports Medicine halftime report. Chuck, I'm sure the numbers favor the Troy Trojans in a big way.
Well, they do. Sydney ran the ball 9 times in the first half for negative 22 yards. They were 7 of 14 throwing the ball. He missed his first 4 passes. Then he was 7 for 10, 93 yards and a touchdown. Only 71 total yards in the first half for the Yellow Jackets. 4 first downs, 4 penalties for 25 yards, and a big turnover on an intercepted pass. For the Trojans, they ran the ball 34 times for 136 yards. They were 4 of 11 for 61 yards, 197 total. 10 first downs, 5 penalties for 45 yards. Did not turn the ball over in the first half.
What's a good nickname for Colt Bishop for Troy?
Stallion.
Stallion? Like it?
He looks like an athlete. I mean, you see him out there. He just looks like a running back.
Yeah.
And he is. He's pretty darn good. I'm impressed.
Now, you made the remark in the middle of that first half that his acceleration is outstanding. Boy, does he have a burst. If he gets a crease like lightning, he spurts right through it. Sydney's got his hands full. Choked him off pretty well much of the first half. He got going late in that second quarter.
Yeah, he hasn't had any huge runs, but he's consistent.
What do the Yellow Jackets have to do to dent the end zone and get back in this game against Troy?
Well, they got to keep throwing it. I mean, they've shown that they cannot run the football, so they're going to have to throw it. And defensively, I gave up 24 points. That's quite a few, but I didn't think they did a bad job. So I guess that should be kind of scary for them.
Yeah, the 24 points represent the sum total Sydney has given up in the last 2 weeks, 2 football games total.
Right.
14 to Piqua, 10 to Tip. What's head coach Matt Burbacher of Troy talking about in the locker room at the halftime?
Well, cut out the penalties. Yep. They're doing a good job. Just keep running the ball and maybe tighten up the pass defense a little bit. But he's got to be happy with his 17-point halftime lead.
Do we know unofficially about how many penalty markers have been thrown?
Well, I know for a fact there was 4 for 25 yards on Sydney, and there was 5 for 45 yards on Troy, so 9 for 70 yards.
Only 9.
Seems like more than that. I know.
It seems like 19.
Yeah, I know.
We were stopping play often in the first 2 quarters of this game. Could have been worse. Troy misfired on a 4th down pass in Sydney territory when Troy had a 14-0 lead.
They dropped a touchdown, too, on that last drive, and then they had to settle for the field goal.
Right. So,
and, I mean, that was a flat-out drop.
Yeah, 3 points at the end of that drive instead of 7. Perhaps a 7 lost by Troy in an earlier drive late in that first quarter. Sydney might have been the victim of a quick call. Could have been a defensive touchdown for Sydney, which might have been a fumble, not an incomplete pass. But Sydney snarfed up the football, was on the way to the end zone, and the officials were signaling incomplete. And that's one of those where, boy, had the NFL been present, I think it's touchdown Sydney.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least they would have looked at it. But it's bang-bang down there. Then the officials are pretty close to it. They missed an obvious hold on the outside rush, but on the fumble, hard to tell.
That's our halftime report brought to you by Wilson Health Sports Medicine. Troy 24, Sydney 7 here at the half on scoresbroadcast.com.
Here's another Wilson Health Sports Medicine success story. Sydney High School guard Ashley Egan recovered to top form after tearing her ACL in January 2014.
It was Ashley's birthday, in fact, and the Sydney girls were playing Houston. And Ashley injured her knee cutting to the basket. She just crumbled to the floor.
But Ashley's mother, Kathy, said Wilson Health athletic trainer Beth Danklifson was courtside and came to the rescue.
She was so helpful, so caring, and encouraging. Wilson Health Sports Medicine gave us peace of mind. We knew we were in good hands.
In 2 weeks, Dr. Matthew Heckler, Wilson Health Sports Medicine orthopedic surgeon, performed successful surgery.
Therapy began several days later, and Ashley enjoyed both soccer and basketball her junior and senior years.
And Ashley's Yellow Jackets hoops team won 24 straight games. For information about Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, go to wilsonhealth.org and click on services.
We are so thankful for Wilson Health Sports Medicine.
Keeping athletes healthy and in the game.
Chuck, we're hearing high school football scores from around the area as being delivered by the public address here at Troy. And I think I heard correctly, Vandalia Butler 27, Pickwood nothing after two quarters.
I heard the shutout. I didn't hear how many they had. But
wow, that's a surprising lopsided score. Tip in the GWOC North is leading Greenville by a score of 16-0 at the half. So, elsewhere in the GWOC North, two shutouts being spun after two quarters of play. Vandalia Butler 27, Pickwa nothing, and Tip 16, Greenville nothing. Both of those games at halftime. Say, some of you have heard of Brookins. For those of you who have not, Brookins has been a fixture in downtown Fort Loramie since the late 1800s when mules still pulled canal boats down the Miami Erie Canal. Brookins has many old local pictures hanging on its walls, right beside the current ones of Fort Loramie sports teams. Nowadays, Brookins is the place to be for enjoying some roasted chicken dinners, plus many specialty sandwiches, pizza, and the pork chop special on Saturday nights. Your food is cooked fresh. You sit back, relax, and enjoy an appetizer while you wait. Carl Arnes will entertain you. He's the new owner at Brookins, and he will put his heart and soul into creating a fun, family-friendly atmosphere at Brookins, just like the previous owners did, Dale and Joyce Barhorst, who owned Brookins for a dozen years. Brookins, the ideal space to reserve for family gatherings, birthdays, anniversaries, wedding rehearsals, and more. The banquet room seats up to 60. The spacious second floor is open, too. With over a century of rich history and plenty of roasted chicken and Brookins burgers to go around, there's no place like Brookins in Fort Loramie at 10 Elm Street, on the web at brookins-usa.com. Well, last score you heard, the Lehman Catholic Cavaliers were leading Upper Soda Valley by a score of 9-6.
I've got a newer one there, 35-6 now in the second quarter.
35-6, Lehman Catholic leading Upper Scioto Valley in a game being played at Sydney. Elliot Gilardi, quarterback for Lehman Catholic, went out last week early in that 22-3 loss to Waynesfield Goshen. He suffered a concussion, as Lehman offensive coach Bill Zimmerman highlights here in just a matter of a few seconds. Bill comments on the fact that, yes, if Lehman can close out the year with three wins, including one over Lima Perry next week, it's perhaps a home field for Lehman. Lehman's got to win two out of three to have a shot at the seventh or eighth spot in week 11 play. After Upper Soda Valley tonight, you got Lima Perry and Riverside. Well, you win three, you're in for sure.
Yeah, that's correct. We had a little hiccup last week against Waynesfield Goshen and took a one in the loss column there. We had some injuries that contributed to that. Our quarterback, Elliot Gilardi, only played about 10 offensive snaps and then was taken out of the game. So we do think we can rebound. Upper Soda Valley is a winnable game, but they are pretty tough up front. front. Lima Perry is the Week 9 opponent, and they are they only have one loss on the season, and they are going to be a chore for us. And then Riverside finishes out the year on a regular season on a Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. So if we can win out, we are definitely in. And if we drop one, there's a possibility that we'll still sneak in towards the bottom at 7 or 8.
Gosh, I hope I didn't jinx you, because a few weeks ago when we talked, we commented on the injuries suffered by the Lehman Catholic Cavaliers this year, and I noted that Elliot Gilardi, who'd suffered the ankle injury last year, had been healthy throughout this season. And daggone, lo and behold, he gets hurt at Waynesfield Goshen on the late hit.
Yeah, he did. He took a, what I would call kind of a cheap shot hit, but it is what it is. And he only played, like I said, about 10 snaps. However, he felt fine after the incident, but he was removed by the referees from the remainder of the game. So we had to go in with an unprepared backup quarterback, and that's on us as a staff, not on the kid. And so he is healthy. He passed all with flying colors his test the next morning, and so he is ready to go for Week 8.
So a 6-4 final season record with wins over Upper and Riverside, despite a loss to Lima Perry, if that does happen. You could sneak into the playoff picture, 7 or 8?
We could. We'd be probably 7 or 8. It really depends on what happens with Waynesfield Goshen, actually. Now that they have the win over us, we're going to give them major points. Yes. They have... they still have Hardin Northern and Elgin to play tonight. If they can beat both those teams, they may be able to knock us out. But if those teams are victorious, we can probably sneak in at 7 or 8.
And who knows? We could have a Week 11 match, Lehman Catholic Fort Loramie, which sits atop this region in D7.
That is very feasible. Loramie, it looks like they're locked at the one position there, Jack. They're probably going to go 9-1. And even if they slip up and go 8-2 because of their quality of wins, they probably will remain at 1. Crestview and Minster are pretty much locked in at 2-3. If Minster can defeat Marion Local, they could move up, but they're likely going to remain at 3. Ansonia's looking solid at 4. And then 5, 6, 7, 8 is kind of going to be a hodgepodge of some teams. Layman's in play there. New Bremen's in play there. Riverside, Waynesfield, Goshen, and Miami Valley Christian.
Anna Rockets in Division 5, Region 18, sit at 5-2. A big point-getting contest tonight at Coldwater for the Anna Rockets. But then two very winnable games to close out the season, Parkway and Delta St. John's. 7-3 gets Anna in, perhaps not at home, the 5 or 6 spot, but in the playoffs with a 7-3 closing season record.
That's correct. They had a big win last week versus Fort Recovery, which sets them at 4th in the region right now, Jack. And, yeah, if they can get a win tonight over Coldwater, they pretty much guarantee themselves a home game in Region 18. But even if not, winning the last two versus Delphus and Parkway will get them in and possibly in the 4 spot. More likely a 5 or 6 spot, but possibly in the 4 spot.
The Division 3 Piqua Indians have won the last couple weeks. A big win over Sydney 2 weeks ago, 14-12. Playing Vandalia Butler tonight. Lurking in Week 10 is the annual contest with Troy. Piqua's got a shot at the playoffs, probably not at home, but an opportunity to play Week 11 away from home.
Yeah, if they can win two of the last three, similar to Anna, really. If they can win two of the last three, they can probably sneak in here towards the bottom of Region 12. If they get a win versus that big rival with Troy, they're definitely in, and they actually push themselves up for a possibility of a home game at the number 4 spot, which would be great for them.
Sydney Yellow Jackets in Division 2, work to do now for Sydney. A big game for the Jackets against Troy this evening. A must win for Sydney in order to advance all the way to Week 11.
Yes, they really, I wouldn't say they need to win out, Jack, but they have to have this Troy game because there's so many points affiliated with it. They're sitting in 13 in Region 8 and essentially have to win out, but definitely need this one tonight. It's a must win.
Bill Zimmerman, offensive coach, Lehman Catholic Cavaliers, insight on the playoff picture for the Shelby County football programs here tonight at Troy. Troy leads Sydney 24-7. We're several minutes away from the start of our third quarter. And, Chuck, you just received an update on the Anna-Coldwater game at the Cavaliers Stadium.
Yep, it's 7-7 late in the second quarter, and Marion leads Minster 7-6 late in the second quarter.
Aha. Yeah, two very important contests affecting, well, three divisions, really, 5, 6, and 7, games featuring Anna and Coldwater and Minster and Marion Local. This is scoresbroadcast.com, Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County online radio entertainment system. Chuck, how about the season? The Fort Loramie Redskins, under first-year head coach Spencer Wells, are experiencing.
Yeah, they're playing really well. We saw that first game against Minster, and you could just tell they were still learning the system.
Yep.
But they've really turned it around. I mean, they don't play in a great league, but there's two really good teams in that league, Covington and Miami East, and they beat them both.
Yep. And tonight, Fort Loramie is routing Tri-Village. Fort Loramie plays National Trail on the road next week before closing out against a pretty good Tri-County North team in Week 10. We could possibly be covering Fort Loramie's last two games, for sure Week 10, and maybe on the road next week at National Trail. Carter Mesher, running back for Fort Loramie, averaging in the Cross County Conference, Chuck, get this, over 20 yards per carry. And Colin Moore, the quarterback, the sophomore QB for Fort Loramie, has not been sacked all year. I don't know if a defensive lineman has laid a hand on him in the Cross County Conference.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, just somebody slips on a block, you're going to get a sack at some point. But no, they're playing as well as you can play right now. And I know that they would like to have a rematch with Minster. They would love to have that in like a regional final.
Right, right. But as head coach Spencer Wells comments for us here tonight on scoresbroadcast.com, the Redskins are still making some mistakes, a lot of penalties, and Fort Loramie is trying to shore that phase of the football game up right now, heading into weeks 8, 9, and 10.
Well, I think last week especially, a focus of ours has been really cleaning up our penalties. Because before last week, like we were talking, we had three straight weeks where we had points taken off the board because of holding calls, and they were good calls. It was just stuff that we didn't have to be doing. Whether it was poor technique and not having our hands on the inside, mm-hmm. or we're holding when the play's already passed us by 30 yards. So it was stuff like that that we pointed out in the film, and the guys did a really good job cleaning up last week. You know, the defense has done a great job. Yes. Twin Valley South scored, but that was on a kickoff return. And then Mississinawa, they had one big play on our starting defense, but other than that, that was really it. The other points came against our young guys. So, and in the previous weeks before that, the defense is just really, like I said, they're just fun to watch. They're fun to see how much faster they're playing and mm-hmm. reading their keys and playing as a unit. And when you do that defensively, you can have a fun defense. So that's been really neat the last couple weeks.
Yeah, you don't score points very often on defense, but it's something you've got to really take pride in as a unit, right?
Sure, absolutely. And they scored for us last week. Devin Worman had a pick six. And talk about a kid. He actually got our game ball last week mm-hmm. That we challenged him week one, that we wanted some more production out of him as a senior leader of our defense. And like I told him last week, I think he's stepped up and he's been one of our most effective players. And that says a lot about him and his attention to detail and his focus. He practices really well, and that allows him to play really well.
Mm-hmm. In these lopsided wins, mm-hmm. you don't get to punt the football very often.
Yeah.
You do get to try PATs after touchdowns quite often and kick it off a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What are you learning about the kicking game, which is so important as you approach the end of the season and the postseason playoffs?
We've been really pleased with Beltran, our kicker, and the way he stepped up. And for he's never even played football until he got here in August. So it's been neat to see how much he enjoys it. During homecoming last week, they asked each kid when they introduced him, you know, tell us something you hope to accomplish in the future. And the thing that he told him was that he wants to play in the NFL. He wants to kick in the NFL. So it's just been fun to see him really enjoy football and then to see him do well. That's been big for us. You know, our PAT, the protection has been good. We've had to speed up the timing a little bit, and that's just as Beltron adjust. And but yeah, that's been productive unit for us. Our kickoff unit, the coverage on that, we've given up some big ones, but for the vast majority, those guys have done a nice job. It's just cleaning up little things like making sure we stay in our lanes and we're not doing any crisscrossing and flying to the football, but also breaking down when you get there. So that's been a big improvement for us.
Evolution of the punting game so far for Fort Loramie football.
Yeah, so Blake Holthouse was our punter to start off the year, and we transitioned to Sam Barhorst. He's a sophomore for us, and he's done a really nice job back there stepping up and punting. And he's also helped out when we've needed him at times to spell Carter Mesher at our A-back position. He's right there in our depth chart at the safety spot. So Sam has done a really nice job for us all the way around for a sophomore.
Spencer Wells, head coach of Fort Loramie football, our guest here at the half of the Sydney-Troy game. What do you look to put emphasis on the last few weeks as you get ready for the postseason? Your competition kicks up a little bit, stiffer foes here in the last few weeks of the season.
Well, we want to be playing our best football come week 11. So to do that, we just have to make sure that we have great energy and enthusiasm in our practice. And that was something that we talked about yesterday, is these next 3 weeks, let's just have great practice, great energy, enthusiasm, because, you know, the score on Friday night has a tendency of taking care of itself. Is, you know, it's a Bill Walsh. I read one of his books, and I think that's so true. You know, it's what you do during the week. And on Friday night, you know, we're going to see who prepared harder. And that's got to be a focus of us as we finish up the year.
And Colin Moore, your sophomore quarterback, has had a splendid campaign for you.
Yeah, he's just a really smart kid. He's very blessed with his athleticism. And, you know, we've got plenty to clean up with his footwork and his timing at different things. But overall, you know, he's leading the league in passing, you know, with only one turnover. He's also been a very effective runner for us. And been a really good dual threat player. But I want to say, as we highlight him, is I think one of the other reasons that he's been able to transition so well so quickly is week 7, and he still hasn't been sacked. You know, his offensive line has done an outstanding job of making sure he's staying upright. And he can be confident in the pocket. And so that's been a really big thing for us.
Andy Dalton would love to have your quarterback's offensive line
sure,
right now.
Sure, I bet. Yeah.
health of your team heading into weeks 8, 9, and 10.
Yeah, good. You know, we've got a few guys. We got Connor Ratterman, a junior, that can't quite get over a hamstring injury that I feel bad for, because I know he really wants to get out there. But other than that, you know, it's kind of the typical, you know, soreness that you have during the course of a football season. So our trainer, Ryan Castle, does a great job with those guys. And I don't know if you've met Ryan, but Ryan does an outstanding job. And the communication there is something I know I really appreciate it. So we've been pretty blessed, knock on wood, so far.
Spencer Wells, head coach of the Fort Loramie Redskins, 6-1 heading into play tonight against Tri-Village and winning handily. More than likely, we will cover Fort Loramie on the road next week down in northern Preble County.
I can find the place.
In New Paris. New Paris, right off 40, which is right off 127, which is just north of I-70.
Well, I've been around here for a long time, and this will be my first trip to National Trail.
Located in the metropolis of New Paris. And then week 10, more than likely to close out the season, Fort Loramie hosting Tri-County North. Well, the kickoff by Troy is muffed by Sydney at the 10. Two Yellow Jackets look at the ball on the ground at the 14, belatedly, Chuck, at the last split second before Troy gets there first. Sydney picks it up, tackle is made immediately, but it's inside the 15-yard line, not the way to begin a half when you're trailing 24-7 already.
Well, Taborn did a nice job of picking that up, because he's not the one that flubbed it, but he got banged on the arm there. He's hurting a little bit. He's out of the game.
Here is Dunham to throw on 1st and 10, and it's a screen pass. Fortunately, it's in the right flat and thrown forward for Quamir Brown. He was about even with Dunham, maybe a step or two ahead, no more than that. It was not a lateral, was not ruled a fumble, incomplete pass behind the line of scrimmage. 2nd and 10 for Sydney. Yellow Jackets have it at their own 14, trailing 24-7. Opening plays, third quarter of action. Dunham in the pocket at the 8. Here's a heave, right hash mark, way underthrown, no good. That was his weakest pass of the night right there.
That slipped out of his hand. You can see right when it left his hand, it looked like a duck.
Can't really tell how much it is raining. There might be a sprinkle or two in the air.
It's slowed down from what it was right before the half, but it's still coming down a little bit.
Yeah, it is. I look at the puddles, and there's a splash or two every now and then. Third down, 10 for Sydney. Here's an out pattern thrown right to the Troy defender at the 23-yard line. It's picked off and run down inside the 10, the 5, and out of bounds. Weston Smith, who plays a very good defense, holds for the kicker Seiler on PATs and field goals, was the young man for Troy who snared it. Dunham telegraphed it about 15 yards down the left sideline. Smith was all over it. He returned it to about the 3.5, and Troy is in business to boost the lead to 30-7, leading already 24-7. Goal-to-go situation, well inside the 5. Seiler at quarterback. Here is the inside handoff on the play to the tailback, Colt Bishop, who was behind Seiler. He was twisted around at the point of attack and dropped. No gain, second and goal for Troy. Very poor beginning, and that's an understatement for Sydney here at the outset of the second half. Colt Bishop, left tackle, he snakes his way, and he's in for the touchdown. Colt Bishop plunges through there for Troy to lift the Trojans to a commanding 30-7 bulge. Extra point try upcoming for Seiler. Sydney now in deep trouble, unable to run the ball tonight, Chuck. Certainly won't try to run it much the rest of the evening.
No, but it could really get out of hand if they keep throwing passes like those last two.
Exactly. Yep. Seiler on for the PAT. He smacked home a field goal in the first half. Can't recall the distance, Chuck. I think it was about 25 yards. PAT try by Seiler. Not a good-looking kick, but good enough.
He's not going to get any style points, but he is getting a single point each time he kicks it.
It was through there inside the right upright about 7 or 8 feet above the crossbar, and the lead now for Troy is extended to 31-7, and we are less than a minute into the second half of this game on scoresbroadcast.com.
This business and proud sponsor of high school sports provides valuable products and services for our local agriculture industry.
Well, here at Bambach Fertilizer and Seed, we have 3 retail locations, one just east of New Knoxville, one just south of Jackson Center, and one here in Pemberton, Ohio.
Matt Bambauer, who manages the Pemberton store, said area farms have relied on Bambauer for fertilizers, seeds, and crop protection chemicals for over half a century.
For me, this work has been a way of life since I was a kid. There's actually 4 generations of my family that's been serving the ag industry. And if you really wanted to look, it goes clear back to the 1930s.
Service is more than just a word at Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed. It's a promise that is kept with each customer every single time.
We serve the ag industry in 6 west central Ohio counties. Here at Bambauer's, we pride ourselves in providing the very best products and services to our customers.
On the web at Bambauer, Bambauer, fertilizer.com.
My desk today there in Piqua and watched a Bambauer truck right down Main Street.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I waved to them. I don't think they saw me.
Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville. Generation after generation of great service at Bambauer, one of our very fine underwriting sponsors here on scoresbroadcast.com. Kickoff return by Troy, returned by Christian Redderer, one of the upmen for Sydney. He glides forward to the 32, and that's where the Yellow Jackets begin, first down and 10 yards to go. Sydney has 7 points on the night, hasn't had possession very often. Troy has dominated the game in terms of clock time and number of plays. Sidney on offense now with better field position than it had to start the third quarter. Here's an end sweep by Caleb Harris. He breaks the tackle behind the line. He romps down the near sideline. He's got 5 yards, close to 10, and he is bumped out of bounds at the 40 after registering an 8-yard pickup. This Troy defense gives up ground grudgingly against the run. It's the top-rated defense in the GWAC. Three down linemen here now for Troy on second and very short, and Dunham wants to throw for it. He's 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. He waffles one short of his intended receiver at the 35. That wet football might have slipped out of his hands again, and it's intercepted easily by Troy at the Trojan 40.
Three turnovers now.
Wow, the mistakes mount for the Sydney Yellow Jackets. Two turnovers here in this half. Both teams flagged for numerous penalties in the first two quarters of this game. Sydney received the third quarter kickoff, but has given the football right back to Troy twice in less than 2 minutes to start the second half. Here's Colt Bishop, sweep to the left. He tries to turn the corner, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle. Another one, tries to reverse his field. Down he goes.
I think it was a jet sweep.
Christian Redderer in there on the tackle. Boy, he's been a stalwart on the defensive side for Sydney.
His name's been called a lot. It's going to be called here at the end of the game, I'm pretty sure, for Clancy's player of the game.
And he's been one of the top tacklers all year long for the Yellow Jackets. Snap from center by Troy. Goes in the air wide of the quarterback, Seiler, who retreats and goes down on the football way back around the 30. And let's see, was there a flag? Chuck, what's happened?
No, I think they're just trying to decide where he went down.
Well, I'm kind of confused. It looked like the official.
I don't know why they're walking around.
You know, the referee was on the spot where hovering over the ball was Seiler. Then the ball was advanced back upfield toward the line of scrimmage by the officials. And then marked for play back near where Seiler fell on it, but about 2 yards away from where he fell on it.
Well, that's the second time they've had a terrible snap and cost them a lot of yards. They were going to run there. They were running out of the Wildcat that time. That was a direct snap to Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't even close to him.
Nope. Troy leads 31-7, but it has by no means been a perfect night for the Troy Trojans, as we see in this play. Seiler, the quarterback, fakes the inside handoff, fakes the run himself, and then makes a little push pass a yard forward in the left flat that's incomplete.
Well, if you noticed, the running back was on the other side of where he went the fake, so that's not real effective.
And Troy's got to punt the football away. Troy leads 31-7, but I'm sure head coach Matt Burbacher would say, we have been sloppy.
They will have some coaching points in their film session for sure.
And both teams have been pretty sloppy. On a wet night here at Troy Memorial Stadium, it has not rained hard. It's been just spitting rain all night long throughout the game. Thankfully, we are avoiding the heavier rain, which is north and west of us. Seiler back in punt formation at his 15, strides forward with the left foot. It's a good kick. Sydney runs away from it, lets it hit. It hits the turf at the 39 and then takes 2, 3, 4 big hops all the way inside the 20 of Sydney, and the Yellow Jackets are backed up again.
55.
This Braden Seiler for Troy does it all, doesn't he?
He does, but I'll tell you, the snap is so slow, and it took him a while to get that off. If Sydney would have had any kind of pressure on him, I don't think he would have got the kickoff. Watch how slow that, if they punt again, look how slow the snap comes back to him.
Uh-huh. A little perplexing to me why Sydney didn't attempt to come over and at least fair catch the football at about the 40-yard line.
Well, he did fair catch it. He was 20 yards away from it, though.
Yeah, the Sydney return man was at the far hash. The ball lit on the turf closer to the near hash. Great tackle by Troy in the offensive backfield. Caleb Harris is upset. He spilled back at the 11. That was Shane Shoup, wasn't it?
It was Alex Green, Alex, 33.
Great ankle-high tackle. That was clinic-like, textbook tackle in the offensive backfield to nail Harris for a minus 3, second and 13 for Sydney. First 4 minutes of the second half, 31-7 Troy. Here's Dunham back at his own 3-yard line, runs out of the pocket to the left, and throws a jump ball down the near sideline. Look out. It is intercepted again by Troy at the 30.
Wow.
I thought, Chuck, the way he was shot putting that ball toward the boundary, he was pitching it away out of bounds. Saved that pass and that play for another time late in the game and just ditch it. But it stayed in bounds. Troy made another interception. That is three picks by Troy, Chuck, in less than 4.5 minutes.
In this four for the game, three in the third quarter. He's having trouble gripping the ball. His passes are not near as sharp as they were in the first half.
Nope, this last one was a floater. And at first it appeared as though he might just flip it out of bounds. It was close to the boundary, but Troy made the pickoff in the field of play. Screen pass by Seiler on the initial play of this drive, and it is smelled out by Sydney. Tackle for a loss. It's Caleb Harris who came blowing across the line of scrimmage, and Harris spilled Monroe back at the 33. It's second down and 12 for Troy, which can't get a first down near the 20 of Sydney. Here is a deep handoff behind the line of scrimmage to Colt Bishop. And he's trotting toward the near sideline. Boy, you can tell, Chuck, the footing is getting a little soft because Colt Bishop was not running hard as he trekked to the near sideline toward the Sydney bench. Couldn't ever get it turned upfield. Another 2-yard loss for Troy. Third and 14 at the Sydney 35.
Well, both offenses have looked terrible here in the third quarter. A 3-yard drive by Troy got him some points.
Yeah, each offensive group in the second half very stagnant. Here's Seiler, fakes a forward pass, and then he acts like he's going to throw it again. The ball has come out. It's on the ground. You might be able to hear the Sydney coaches in the background to our left up here in the visitor's press box saying that Seiler had made his motion, then recocked his arm, and the ball came out. Sydney wanted a fumble, but no dice. That's the second time in this game. Seiler, and he flips it wide of Klopfenstein, downfield at the 21-yard line. Would have been a first down, but the throw was way off target. And these two offenses don't look very good.
I think they're cold, they're wet, and they see that bus over there that looks pretty darn good.
If the bus has a heater that works.
Well, let's assume. A good bus driver has it started up already.
Yeah, 31-7 Troy. We still have 6:47 to go here in the third quarter, and Sydney has taken over the football. Yellow Jackets need a couple quick scores to put some heat on Troy. Here's the handoff, offensive backfield, Yellow Jackets, and burrowing forward is Caleb Harris, the ball carrier, who budges for 4 from the 34-yard line out to the 38. Second down, about 6.5 to go for the Yellow Jackets. Sam Jackson in there on the last tackle for Troy. He's played some Wildcat. He's been in carrying the football on offense too for Troy, but his primary performance for the Troy Trojans is on defense, where he leads this team in tackles. And in incredulous fashion, Troy, another offside penalty. Far too many penalties in this game tonight, Chuck, for two GWOC teams playing in week 8.
Yeah, it's been sloppy. Well, let's blame it on the weather.
This is not early September. It's the first half of October, almost the middle of the month. and both teams making a bundle of mistakes. It is Caleb Harris after the 5-yard walk-off against Troy. He runs it on 2nd and 3, and he jaunts for 4, and it's a first down Yellow Jackets at the Sydney 46. Sparse crowd on hand here for this game tonight. On the Troy side, Chuck, what would you say? Maybe about 250?
Yeah, that's really a good guess. Not very many kids over there.
Nope. Not at all. Senior night here at Troy, last home game for the Trojans. Short drop, but Dunham. Ball thrown behind the line, ahead of Dunham, at the feet of the receiver, incomplete.
Yeah, he's not throwing the ball now. He's just kind of trying to guide it out there.
And Dunham and Seiler, the two quarterbacks, clearly having difficulty gripping the pigskin. No question about it. With the incompletion, clock stops. 5:35 left in the third. 31-7 Troy. Sydney, 2nd down 10. Yellow Jackets, 46. Here's a sweep to the left. It's Harris. Oh, he's being corralled in the offensive backfield. Nearly a late hit by Troy. Tackle made at the 41. Harris was followed and pasted behind the line of scrimmage. Down he went, 3rd and 15.
I would not have been surprised if a flag would have come in on that because he was down when he kind of just dove on him.
Oh, yeah. The tackle had already been made. And a second Troy defensive man came in and laid on Harris with a little bit of a thud. Dunham in the offensive backfield has two receivers right, two to the left.
This is a tougher sport than the professional football. That would have been a penalty in the pros.
Might have been. Who knows? Some days, yes. Here's Dunham in the pocket, lofting it. Got a good spiral away this time. Oh, what a great catch by Sydney. Down at the 25-yard line and run to the end zone for a touchdown. The official was beaten so badly on the play, Chuck. I don't think he saw the Sydney receiver touch the boundary or come very close.
He came close, but I don't think he did. I think he kept a foot in.
Who was that on the reception for Sydney?
That was, that was Block.
Beautiful.
No, I'm on the wrong side. That was
beautiful catch downfield.
Lathan Jones. He's having a heck of a game.
Oh, he sure is. And Dunham, after 3 or 4 slippery ball throws.
Where did that one come from?
That was a gorgeous spiral. And he heaved it a good 45 yards in the air from way back behind the line of scrimmage.
And again, the second time tonight, caught him in stride.
Uh-huh. And Sydney goes for 2. Dunham in the pocket, way back at the 17. Lofting into the end zone, about 3 or 4 yards deep in the end zone. It's high, incomplete. 34-13 in favor of Troy. 4:38 to go here in the third quarter. Sydney strikes. And now the Yellow Jackets need a takeaway, another quick score. And then who knows, the pressure would shift to the Trojans. We're late in the third quarter on scoresbroadcast.com.
Have you been considering LED lighting but feeling confused? Our talented team at Dickman Supply can answer all your questions about LED lighting and get confusion out of the game. We can help with the design and retrofits, plus even with obtaining all eligible utility rebates. Call the Dickman Supply Green Team or contact our lighting departments in Sydney, Greenville, Salina, and Marysville. Dickman Supply, the largest Eaton electrical distributor in West Central Ohio.
Oh, what a catch and run by Lathan Jones of Sydney. And that play, the throw from Dunham to Jones, in all, Chuck, covered how many yards?
59.
59-yard bomb. It was an out and up the sideline. Is that what they call a wheel route or something close to it?
No, because it wasn't that's a running back on a wheel route. That was a receiver. He kind of did a hitch and go. He stopped, and then the pump fake took off down. Had about a 2-yard advantage on him, but the throw was perfect.
And Troy bit on the bait. The Trojans tried to jump in front of Jones, and he took off. Onside kick tried by Sydney, dribbled ahead to the 50. A Troy player touched it, muffed it momentarily, but then reeled it in with the right arm before the Yellow Jackets could get to the football. And Troy's got it 1st and 10 at the 50. 34-13, or I should say 31-13 in favor of Troy. I may have said 34-13 a moment ago. I was mistaken if I did. 31-13 Troy over Sydney, 4.5 to go here in the third quarter. It was 24-7 at one point, then 31-7 in favor of Troy before the 6 points by Sydney. Jackson from the Wildcat for Troy over left guard. He plows for about two. Second down, 8 for the Trojans from the Sydney 48-yard line. Seiler at the QB spot now for Troy. Sydney nearly jumped offside and did.
Wow, watch the ball. You don't have to touch him. I'm responding to the crowd outside. He didn't touch him.
Yeah, a few fans may have yelled that Sydney didn't touch the Troy offensive lineman. You don't need to touch a tackle or guard to be guilty of offside. Boy, it's been a plentiful penalty night here at Memorial Stadium.
That's just made it special.
Here's a run right up the middle. Colt Bishop shakes a tackle, breaks another one. Might have been a late face mask on Sydney down around the 31. Blasting for a nice chunk of real estate was the Troy running back as he bulldozed for about 17 yards. Let's see what the infraction is. Well, we're going to have 20 penalties between the two teams, Chuck, before this night is over. We've got to be up 15 or so at the moment. The men in stripes huddle, and let's see what has been ruled by the court.
They called a personal foul, hands to the head on the Trojans.
Yep, head coach Matt Burbacher would have a fun time the rest of the weekend butting together videotape of all of the Troy penalties. And there have been a slew of them. Another one nullifying a run of better than 15 yards by Colt Bishop. The break for Troy is that the foul occurred way downfield near the side of the tackle. So the new line of scrimmage means that Troy has a second down and about six at the Sydney 46. Well, what is it with the GWOC North, Chuck? We saw Pickwick commit 10 or 12 penalties against Sydney. Troy with a bunch tonight. Sydney with its share. Here's an end sweep by Troy. And it's Sam Jackson getting on the edge. Good block over there by the Trojans. Jackson on the loose. It looks like he rumbled for first down yardage inside the 40 of Sydney. Yep, he did. Out of bounds into the Troy bench. Right at the 40-yard stripe. 31-13 Troy. 3:41 left to go here in the third quarter. Two receivers left, one to the right for Seiler. Colt Bishop again. Right up the middle. Boy, he trudges through a little hole. No, it's Jackson. And he knifes to the 32 or 33. I think head coach Matt Burbacher of Troy has found his 1-2 running punch in the offensive backfield. Sam Jackson getting the call occasionally tonight to spell Colt Bishop, who gets it here. A little juke step to the outside, goes wide to tackle. I guess Colt Bishop, who's got mud in his back. It was Sam Jackson with the same-looking mud on his back. And the play went for a first down inside the 30 of Sydney. Harlett came up, made the hit for the Yellow Jackets, not before first down yardage was acquired by Troy. Here's Seiler. Gives it, ball carrier right up the gut, spinning, churning, inside the 25. Jackson again. He hauled a Sydney player with him to the 22. Second down, about three to go for Troy. Christian Townsend knocked the ball carrier off his feet. Troy with a stern drive, trying to register more points here before the end of the quarter. Here's a handoff outside right tackle. It is Jackson again, and he plows down inside the 20, lurching ahead to the 16, maybe even the 15. Another first down for the Trojans, who are grinding it out right now. Two receivers to the right, no doubt decoys for Seiler, who gives it. Ball carrier, who's nabbed just about a yard downfield as he tried to go wide. It was Jackson, no hole between left guard and tackle. He tried to spring it to the outside, couldn't get on the periphery of Sydney's defense as he was toppled to the turf at about the 14, second down and 9 for Troy. Seiler calls his own number after the fake, and he coughed up the football. It's rolling free back outside the 15-yard line. A red jersey might have gotten on it just in the nick of time. No, a white jersey is there for Sydney. Another turnover in this game. Seiler kept it after the fake in the middle to Jackson, and it looked like Seiler, trying to make a move, had the ball spiked right out of his grasp. Well, Christian Redderer is credited with the fumble recovery.
And he is the Clancy's player of the game for the Yellow Jackets.
The public address announcer just touted Redderer as the young man for Sydney who plopped on the football. And, Chuck, you've already got him earning.
Oh, he's having a sandwich as we speak.
He's having a Clancy's night. Here's a pass to the wide side of the field by Dunham. And it is caught by Jones. Good spinning maneuver at the 22. He hauled it in, and then he trucked his body out to the 24. Gained about 8 on the play, second down and 2 for Sydney. Final minute 22 of the third quarter. 31-13 Troy, which just turned it over as Sydney clawed the ball away, getting the fumble. Here's a fake handoff. Good looking pass. A quick slant by Sydney. Complete. Jones again. He snares it at the 31, runs for 3 more after the catch. First down, Yellow Jackets. Well, if Sydney could get points on the board here at the end of this drive, Sydney would make it a 2-score game entering the fourth. 31-13 Troy. 4 receivers flank. Dunham 8 yards behind the line. Throws it down the near sideline at the numbers. It's underthrown, and that means it's going to be picked off. It is. Intercepted by Troy. Great return down the near sideline. The run back on the play by Troy. It's Smith. Weston Smith's having a great game for the Trojans as he returns it a good 46 yards on the play to the Sydney 20, and it's been a turnover takeaway fest, Chuck, here in the second half.
I'm not sure I've ever seen 4 interceptions in a quarter.
I know I have not. Not 4. I've seen 4.5, not 4.25. But that's what we've had. A grand total of 4 interceptions in this GWOC North game here tonight in the third period alone. So it's 1st and 10 for Troy at the Sydney 20 after another Trojan pickoff. And Troy runs it right up the gut. It's Jackson who burrows forward for about 3 or 4 yards down near the 15 or 16 of Sydney. Braden Dean, who's had an outstanding season in there on the stop for the Yellow Jackets.
We haven't seen Bishop the last 2 possessions. I don't know if we've got an injury or if he just rested him.
14 seconds to go here in the third quarter. Teams head toward the sideline, and that will end the period. It'll be 2nd down and about 6 for Troy when we return to start the fourth. 31-13 Trojans over the Yellow Jackets on scoresbroadcast.com.
Street sweepers and snow removers. For such equipment, a local employer manufactures quality replacement parts used across the nation. Close to home, Locale Equipment extends to students at Jackson Center High School the opportunity for a quality college education.
We know the importance of educating right now our future workforce and community leaders.
Locale's Roger Dietrich.
That's why we support Jackson Center High School with scholarships so students can go on and learn career skills.
Jackson Center students
students and their student athletes have benefited greatly from LaCal equipment for their scholarships. These student athletes have completed their degrees at universities and have started outstanding careers.
LaCal began in L.A., California. It moved to Shelby County in 1982, and the community and Jackson Center students are proud.
Thanks so much to LaCal for supporting Jackson Center High School.
We are LaCal Equipment.
A big reason why Shelby County is a great place to call home.
This is ScoresBroadcast.com, Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County online radio entertainment system. Troy Trojans to the line of scrimmage as we commence play here in the fourth quarter of action. Running effort, Trojans left guard on third and six. It's Sam Jackson bulldozing down to the 12. It'll be third and two for the Trojans. Couple of interesting GWAC scores. Late in the third quarter, Vandalia Butler 27, Pickwa 13, and Fairmont was leading Wayne 38-27 late in the third. Here's Troy on third and two, a run right up the middle, and knifing in for Sydney to make the tackle is one of the defensive linemen for the Yellow Jackets, who made an outstanding play and forces a one-yard loss. And it's fourth and three for the Trojans outside the 12-yard line of Sydney. Yellow Jackets nearly jumped offside. Benchoff in there on the last hit for the Yellow Jackets. That was an outstanding maneuver. Here's Seiler, the quarterback, gives. Great hole, left guard for Troy. First down, Sam Jackson on the romp. The 10, the 5, spilled at the 2 or 3. That was all Troy offensive line on that play, Chuck.
Yep, they opened a nice hole. Quick hitter.
And Jackson popped through. Goal to go, Troy. A minute 15 seconds into the fourth. Here is a play right up the gut again. Ball carrier upset at the half-yard line. Jackson is toppled down about 2 feet short of the goal line. Goal to go, Troy. Second down upcoming. 10:20 left to go here in the ballgame. 31-13. Troy leads Sydney. Second down, goal to go for the Trojans. Seiler in the spread, back at the 7. Let's see if he calls Jackson's number again. He does. Jackson behind the center. Yes, he's got the touchdown. Sam Jackson cracks in for the Trojans, who lead it 37-13 now. Seiler on for another PAT. I wonder, Chuck, Colt Bishop seemed to be carrying the ball often throughout the first 2.5 quarters or so. He's disappeared. Hopefully, for the Troy Trojans' sake, he's not nicked up. But Sam Jackson has lugged the football mighty successfully, too.
Not a bad replacement, is he?
Uh-uh. Extra point try here for Seiler of Troy to stretch the lead to 38-13 in favor of the Trojans. His last two PATs have been good, but they've not been real artistic. There's a wide snap. Great play.
Wow.
Well done by Smith, the holder.
What a heck of a hold.
He took the hike off his left shoulder, did a little spin move, got it on the ground, and Seiler made his most perfect kick of the night.
Yeah, that was his best kick. They just need a bad snap.
Exactly. 38-13, Troy, 10-11 to go in the fourth on scoresbroadcast.com.
Goffney Furniture in Sydney is impressive. Find out for yourself. Go to Goffney, 2600 West Michigan Avenue in Sydney. For your convenience, use the Goffney Design Center and Room Planning Service free of charge. Extremely high quality furniture, priced just right at Goffney. Check out Goffney Furniture for your dining and living rooms, home office and entertainment spaces, adult and youth bedrooms, and more. Five-star delivery, 30-day guarantee at Goffney. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com.
Well, the Sydney Yellow Jackets, Chuck, trail now by a 38-13 count. That's the equivalent of 25 points, that's what, 2 8s, a 7, and a 3 to get the lead back.
Yeah, well, what you do is, if you're Sydney now as a coaching staff, you just want your kids to play out the string and play it hard.
And remain healthy.
Well, that too.
Yep. Troy to boot it. Siler will kick it off. Still a little spritzing action in the air. Yep, I'm looking at puddles down on the track here at Troy Stadium. And reflecting in the sunlight on the track, we see puddles and water's dancing around a little bit in the puddles, meaning we've had drizzle throughout the duration of this game.
Yeah, it's coming down pretty good right now. I mean, not a downpour, but this is the hardest it's rained, I think.
Sydney will start first and 10 after the kickoff return at the Yellow Jackets' 30-yard line. And I'm not sure what has happened. It looked like a referee was ushering a Sydney player to the sideline for some reason.
I'm not sure.
Did you see what I saw, Chuck?
I saw him walk him off, yes.
Yeah. First and 10 Yellow Jackets at their own 30. Boy, Ryan Dunham for Sydney has had one of those Jekyll and Hyde quarterback evenings, hasn't he, though?
Well, he's way above what Troy normally gives up throwing the football, but he's also thrown 5 interceptions.
And you can probably count on one hand, maybe one finger, the number of times in the last who knows how many years a GWOC North game has been won by a team that threw 5 picks.
No. You're not going to win a game. I mean, Butler turned it over 4 times last week against Troy.
Yep.
And got beat 25 to nothing. That's a rarity.
Yeah, it's an anomaly. Sydney lines up, ready to snap it back to Dunham. There's a flag. Another marker down. It's on Troy. Trojans have probably a dozen or 13 penalties. We're pushing probably 18 or 20 between the two clubs on the night. And for week 8 of the high school football season, that's far too many.
Got some angry fans right down below us.
Yellow Jackets in the road white jerseys, they're getting soiled here this evening. Black and gold headgear, black pants. Troy Trojans in the home red with the gray silver headgear with red piping. Here's a long pass down the field by Dunham. It's headed toward the 31-yard line. And guess what? Intercepted again by Troy. Feltner on the pickoff down around the 25-yard line or so of Sydney. Dunham heaved it. What little wind there might be was at his back, but it was up there forever. Good coverage by Troy. The ball fell short of the mark. Another pretty easy interception by the Trojans.
That was his 6th one, and it looks kind of like Andy Dalton in a playoff game.
Let's hope it's not Andy Dalton Sunday against the Steelers. Well, another pick, and how many now thrown by Sydney on the night?
6.
Grand total of a half dozen interceptions thrown by Sydney on a drizzly night here at Troy Memorial Stadium. And Troy takes over the football and runs Jackson outside left tackle. He stood up, spun around, and decked.
Yeah, that was Kevin Walters.
He's a
junior. Yep. Yeah, they're running some people in and out now.
Yeah. Substituting freely is Troy on the offensive side with 8:46 to go in the fourth quarter. And the Trojans in the lead by a 38-13 count. Somewhat amazingly, Chuck, it's 38-13 and not worse than that.
Yeah.
Given the plethora of mistakes made by Sydney's offense by Sydney's offense.
Well, it's been feast or famine for him. He's either thrown great passes for touchdowns or thrown it to the wrong team.
Yeah, you're right. Running play, Troy, left guard, not much doing. As Walters is spun around at the 46, it'll be 3rd down and 8 or 9 to go for Troy, 4 yards short of midfield. Yeah, it's been a Jekyll and Hyde night for Dunham of Sydney. Like Chuck said it best, feast or famine. He has thrown some brilliant passes, but a few have wobbled in the misty air here at Troy tonight and have been picked off.
Yeah, it's been the second half especially has been a tough night to throw the football.
Trojans to the line of scrimmage. That is still Siler at quarterback.
Correct.
He's got a man in motion across the formation. Running play is subdued by Sydney a yard downfield, and Troy will have to punt. Carlos Quintero, the new ball carrier for Troy, toted it for 1 yard. And there's the name by the public address announcer given again, Christian Redderer. Tonight's Clancy's Award winner, mine made up by Chuck about a quarter and a half ago.
Yep.
Splendid defensive game for Redderer. He has sparkled on the defensive side for the Yellow Jackets all year long. Troy's got to punt, line of scrimmage, the Trojan 48. I hear the Sydney coaches in the booth next to us saying, we've only got 10 out there on the gridiron.
No, I think he was saying Troy only had 10.
Oh, Troy only had 10.
Yeah.
Did an 11th come on in time?
He's there.
Okay. Nice. It's a low snap to the punter who can't pick it up. Then he does. He's going to run. He's way back at the 27. Gets up over the 30, far sideline near the Troy bench. He is brought down from behind at the 35 of Troy, and that's where Sydney takes it over. It has been a night of miscues. Yep, a lot of points, 51 of them in this game. It's a 38-13 count Troy, but there have been mistakes galore.
Well, let's give you some scores. Laramie up 62-6 in the third. Lehman 35-6 in the third, and a 7-7 tie with Coldwater in the fourth. Marion over Minster 7-6 in the fourth quarter.
Ooh, boy. A couple of outstanding high school football games in the Midwest Athletic Conference tonight. Minster and Marion local, and Anna and Coldwater 7-7. Anna and Coldwater late at the Cavalier Stadium. And Marion Local has got a scant one-point lead over Minster late, 7-6. You said the entire game last week, Anna versus Fort Recovery, Chuck, that you thought the Rockets could play right with the Cavaliers tonight.
I felt they could.
And they are. Dead even. Tie game, fourth period, 7-7, Anna Coldwater. Deep drop by Dunham. He's going for broke. He's down in the end zone. And is it caught by Sydney, intercepted by Troy? Neither one. It's on the ground.
You just assume when he throws it.
Incompletion, 6 yards deep in the end zone. So it's third and 10, Sydney at the Troy 35-yard line. Now, we considered Anna Coldwater tonight, although we have covered Anna frequently already this year. Didn't want to be the Rockets internet website, did we?
Well, hey, when teams have a good year, we like to follow them.
This was an important GWAC game tonight. Looked like Sydney jumped offside as Dunham is back to throw. There is no marker. He's going to run with it. He hurries up the field for about four to the 32-yard line. It'll be third down upcoming and 6 or 7 to go for Sydney with 5.5 left in the fourth. And the Yellow Jackets trail the Trojans 38-13.
It's fourth down.
Fourth down. My mistake. Did I say third?
Yes, sir.
Well, Sydney's got to convert, what, about 7 yards on this play?
Yeah.
Fourth down, Yellow Jackets.
There is a flag on the gun.
Oh, there is. Oh. Yep, you might be able to hear the public address announcer in the background. Maybe not. 15-yard walk-off against Troy, which Chuck has to be, what, way over 100 yards in penalties? 125, 130 maybe?
That's 14 penalties.
On Troy.
That's total. 35 yards on Sydney and through 60, 70, 80 yards on Troy.
Seems like more. Seems like we've stopped play more often than that tonight. Because of penalties. Here's a flat pass by Dunham. It's a good one. It's caught in the right flat. I think that's Brown who catches at the 16. He breaks a tackle, eludes another man, and leaps from the 5 to the pylon. Did he get in? What's the ruling?
It should have been. The ball hit the pylon. Nobody's made any kind of a signal.
Haven't seen the touchdown
call yet. I guess they're going to call it a touchdown.
They did call it 6. Yes.
Yeah.
Bryant Billing from the Sydney Daily News is all over it. Bryant's got a touchdown, despite the fact that none of the referees do. So it's a touchdown awarded by Bryant Billing. Sydney on for the PAT. 38-19. Hallie Truesdale strides forward, kicks it, and it is no good. Just slipped outside the upright to the right. 5:14 left in the fourth. Fine touchdown play there by Dunham and Brown for Sydney as they hook up. The extra point is off the mark, 38-19 Troy, late in the fourth on scoresbroadcast.com.
It's the most valued insurance agency in the region. Barker Insurance is number one again, according to newspaper surveys. Barker Insurance tailors auto, home, farm, business, or life insurance programs just for you. With plans through Erie, Pekin, Buckeye, Progressive, Ohio Mutual, and others, your coverage meets your needs when served by Barker Insurance. And that's for sure. Barker Insurance, North County Road 25A in Sydney, phone 492-1857.
Welcome back here to Troy Memorial Stadium. I'm Jack Kramer with Chuck McBee on scoresbroadcast.com. Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. Well, we thank the Francis Schulze Company in Rushi and Superior Aluminum in Rushi, along with the Jewelry Barn in Rushi, the gem of Rushi, Ohio. The Jewelry Barn will make your gift ideas come to life. Three fine sponsors in Rushi, the Francis Schulze Company, Superior Aluminum, and the Jewelry Barn. Wells Brothers, Inc. in Anna as well. And the Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. Get connected to your veterans' benefits. Call 937-498-7282. Trailing by 19 points beyond the midway mark of the fourth quarter, Sydney tries its, what, second onside kick of the night?
Yep, a little different formation that time. It wasn't a bad one. It just, the Troy kid smothered it.
So it's Trojan football right at the 50. 38-19 in a mistake-filled GWOC North game here tonight at Troy Memorial Stadium. Not sure if that's a new quarterback in there for Troy or not. Running play, Trojans right up the middle for about 7 or 8. Yeah, it is. A new QB in there for the Trojans. New line of scrimmage, the 42-yard line of Sydney.
That's Owen Davis. He is a sophomore.
The 10th grader, Davis, now running the show for the Trojans. Line of scrimmage, the 42.5 of Sydney, with 4:40 left to go here in the fourth quarter. 38-19 Trojans, who vie for their third straight win over Sydney here tonight. Troy has won the last two decisively and tries to make it the hat trick. Three straight victories quite handily over the Yellow Jackets. Running play for Troy, good enough for a first down. Christian Townsend dumps the ball carrier right at the 40-yard line. Our anchor underwriting sponsors, American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, Barker Insurance, north edge of Sydney, south of Anna, Holloway Sportswear in Sydney, Local Equipment in Jackson Center, the U.S. Bank with 29 branch locations in the Western Ohio District, Wilson Health Sports Medicine in Sydney, and the Sydney Daily News with the very best sports page coverage around, led by sports editor Bryant Billing. New line of scrimmage, the 39 of Sydney. Second down, 9 coming up for Troy. Both teams, a full complement of 3 timeouts remaining, but I can't imagine either club using a timeout during the stretch run of this game, final 3 minutes. Second and 9, Trojans inside the Sydney 40.
This will be their 60th running play of the game.
And Sydney drags down the ball carrier for a yard loss at the 40. Kevin Walters again toted it for Troy. A minus 1. Third and 10 Trojans. Scoreboard clock is down to 3 minutes even left to go here in the fourth. Sydney Yellow Jackets have two games to close out the regular season at home. Yellow Jackets entertain Vandalia, Butler, and Greenville the final 2 weeks of the campaign. Meanwhile, Troy is away for 2 weeks at Greenville, then at Piqua. And here is the quarterback for Troy. No, it's a handoff on the play. Sydney barrels through and jolts the ball carrier way back at the 44-45. Boy, did Townsend ever jar the Trojan to the turf. That was a third down play. Fourth down coming up, 14 yards to go for the Trojans as we approach the two-minute mark. 38-19, Sydney trailing Troy. Don't forget, next week we have got Fort Loramie coverage more than likely for you. The Trojans on the road at National Trail.
If I can find it.
It is located in northern Preble County, Chuck, north of I-70.
Just head towards the sunset.
East of 127, just off Route 40. 27, just off Route 40. And Troy elects to keep the ball on fourth and long. Short gain of three. Sydney takes over at the Yellow Jacket 41 as we play out the string. Troy Trojans will vault to 7-1 through eight games on the season. And the Sydney Yellow Jackets record will even up at 4-4. Again, our additional underwriting sponsors here tonight on scoresbroadcast.com, Bambauer Fertilizer and Seed in Pemberton, Jackson Center, and New Knoxville. Brookins in Fort Loramie, no good eating place quite like it. Custom Foam Products in Fort Loramie, a world-class supplier. The Goffney Furniture and Mattress Store, heck of a sponsor, Goffney, located on Route 47, west of I-75 in Sydney. High-quality furniture at Goffney. And always a budget price to meet your needs. Goffney Furniture. Go to the website for more savings. Goffney, G-O-F-F-E-N-A, furniture.com. Thanks to Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Frisch is in Sydney, Troy, and Tip City. What's your favorite thing? John Hemp Imagery in Sydney. He gives you his best shot. The In-Between, just south of Botkins. And the Shelby County Veterans Services Commission, Vets Helping Vets. And this game in the last 2 minutes, Chuck, ends on a note by which it got started. Another major personal foul penalty. This one against Troy once more, which now exceeds 100 yards in penalties on the night. Sydney, by virtue of the penalty, advanced the football down to the 30. Yellow Jackets run it for a minus three as we enter the last minute of play. Everything's been pretty much cosmetic in the second half. This game was pretty well decided by early third quarter action. 38-19, the Troy Trojans are going to win it. Sydney is looking for the play call from the Yellow Jackets bench. Down to 54, 53, 52 seconds to go in the fourth. Sydney throwing left flat, pass caught about 2 yards downfield. A good run after catch, and guess what? Two more flags on the play. Unbelievable.
And we got a little scuffle going down here.
And we got flags all over the place, Chuck.
We got a little fight going on.
Oh, they're flying like crazy. Public address announcer just said, lots of yellow hankies out there.
Well, that's the key. If someone gets ejected here, they don't play next week. No, I agree.
Yeah. Unbelievable close to this game, Chuck. Penalties like crazy. And who would have thought the officials would have to conference up with 42 seconds to go in a 38-19 game to sort out personal foul calls?
Well, and the thing is, if anybody gets ejected, they don't play next week.
Oh, my goodness. That's right. Exactly right.
And there were some punches thrown.
Mm-hmm. Yep, no love lost in this game tonight. It was mistake-filled. Yeah, no doubt about that. But it got too sloppy for its own good, and sloppy at times in a physical way, correct?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's this game's been over for a while, and I'm going to make the comment. It was made earlier by someone, but I'm going to say, I don't know why Sydney's got their starters out there.
Yeah, they have had through most all of this fourth quarter. You're so right.
Yep.
Indeed. My, oh my. My goodness gracious. And the officials are still sorting it out down on the field. Chuck, any more score updates?
I can find something for you here. Coldwater went up 13-7 on Anna in the fourth. Anna tied it.
So oh, my.
So now it's 13-13. Anna must have missed the extra point.
My goodness. Each team got a six. That game could go overtime. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. Well, Coldwater dodged a bullet a couple weeks ago in beating Fort Recovery 35-31. Anna taking Coldwater right to the wire tonight. We have the public address announcer.
This is the referee telling us, sorting us out.
Oh, this is the referee down on the field, mic'd up, telling us what has just transpired. Personal fouls all over the place in the final minute of this game, with Sydney trailing Troy by a score of 38-19. Again, we'd like to thank the Francis Schulte Company and Superior Aluminum in Rushi, plus the Jewelry Barn in Rushi, and Wells Brothers, Inc., which has grown to include eight divisions. Wells Brothers, Inc. on Shuey Drive in Anna. Yeah, I think a player or two has been thumbed right out of this game. It's a real shame. The game has to conclude in this manner, Chuck. Very good football culture in both towns at both programs, Sydney and Troy. And it's just too bad that tempers had to flare like this. Sydney takes a knee in the spread back at the 40-yard line and may not have to run another play.
Well, good officiating will make it so they don't have to. They didn't start the play clock. So
exactly.
It's over.
Well said.
It's over. It wasn't a horrible scuffle. I've seen worse. You know, it's you're out there, you're cold, you're wet. Sydney and Troy don't care for each other. So now let's see how the handshake line goes.
Exactly. I was just going to make that comment. As I observed down in the field, the white jerseys meet the red jerseys at midfield. And I'm sure head coaches Adam Dungis and Matt Burbacher will say to each other, you know what, we both have to take better control of this situation.
Well, I mean, it didn't get out of hand.
And hopefully no one got hurt. Hopefully.
I don't think anybody got hurt. I don't know if 56 for Sydney looked like. I think he might have been ejected. But don't quote me on that because I don't know for a fact.
Right. 38-19, Troy Trojans win it. We're at New Paris, Ohio next week. Fort Loramie against National Trail. 19-point victory for the Trojans here tonight in this GWAC North clash. Troy advancing to 7-1. Sydney now 4-4. Chuck, any very late score updates whatsoever? Hard to believe Ann and Coldwater both missed extra points.
Yeah, but then Coldwater scored 20-13. I asked Joe if it was a final. He hadn't responded yet.
Wow.
That'd be a tough loss for him.
Sure would.
They played him tough the whole game.
Layman Catholic won big. Fort Loramie won big. The Minster Marion Local game was going right down to the wire, 7-6.
Yeah,
Marion Local in the fourth.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the final on that one yet.
Chuck, who's our Clancy's Award winner tonight? I think you picked out Christian Redderer for Sydney,
he
right?
He definitely won, and also the other one is Lathan Jones. He had a heck of a game.
Sure did. A couple of good selections. But, Chuck, those are our Clancy's Award winners tonight. Clancy's, Wapak Avenue in Sydney. Nothing fancy, just fantastic food at Clancy's.
Hot, delicious home-cooked meals are a hit at Clancy's Restaurant in Sydney. All-you-can-eat fish on Friday, chicken on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I totally like the international cuisine at Clancy's. The first and third Wednesday of each month, we plan our schedules around it. I especially like the Greek and Chinese cuisine.
Nothing fancy at Clancy's, just fantastic food.
Without traveling to Dayton, I can enjoy authentic international cuisine right here in Sydney.
Teens fill their tummies at Clancy's, too.
Oh, the young crowd loves Clancy's. I always see them at after-school activities with the brown Clancy's to-go bags, and I just know they love them and they love the sandwiches.
And what's your favorite sandwich at Clancy's?
Oh, definitely the topper. It's probably my favorite sandwich over all the Wendy's or Burger King sandwiches.
Eat in, drive up, order out. Clancy's, 1250 Wapak in Sydney. Phone ahead at 492-8820.
Clancy's is priced just right for the whole family.
Daily dinner special. Under $7, complete breakfast under $4 at Clancy's.
Chuck, any closing comments on this game tonight? Troy's run defense was outstanding, and then Troy ran the football at the offensive end as well.
Well, they ran the ball over 60 times. That's what they wanted to do. I hope there was nothing wrong with Bishop. We didn't see him much in the second half, but they've got it. Sam Jackson, I'm sorry, is absolutely a good replacement if there is something wrong with Bishop. It's six interceptions, you're going to lose a football game.
As you best described it, it was a feast or famine night for Sydney quarterback Ryan Dunham.
Yeah, it is one of those where he can go home and try to forget about it. I don't know. You can't dwell on it, but as a kid, he's certainly going to think about it.
Right, and as you mentioned, Christian Rederer for Sydney on defense and Lathan Jones for Sydney on offense are Clancy stars of the game. Ron Mooney is our scoresbroadcast.com chief engineer. Thank you very much, Ron. Chuck McBee alongside Stats Color on Site Engineering. Next week, we webcast from National Trail High School. It is Fort Loramie against National Trail from New Paris. The 7-1 Fort Loramie Redskins entering week 9 next week. This is Jack Kramer saying goodnight from Troy Memorial Stadium. Final score once more, Troy 38, Sydney 19.
This is Scores, SCORES, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.